The anger, we'll give you more details on that. To the House of Commons, Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, give us our cash back. The message for the former owner of Chelsea, Roman Abramovich.
My message to Abramovich is this: the clock is ticking. Honour the commitment that you made and pay up now.
Plus, interest rate D-Day, we'll look ahead to that. Anti-misogyny courses aimed to stop 11-year-old boys becoming killers or indulging in porn, and... But done rather differently at one university, with drag queens playing the wise men and Mary being a lesbian mother. Those stories and more follow the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, teachers will be trained to identify harmful behaviour in boys as part of a plan to halve violence against women and girls. Schools in England will also have to deliver lessons on healthy relationships. LBC's Fraser Knight has more.
The programmes, which would be delivered alongside normal lessons, could cover topics like intimate image abuse, online harassment, and the fact that pornography isn't reflective of real relationships. The government's found some 40% of teenagers in relationships have experienced abuse, and teachers are to be empowered to challenge misogynistic influences to stop them escalating towards violence.
The government's long-awaited strategy will be unveiled later. Police in London have made two arrests over chants for Intifada at a pro-Palestinian demonstration in London. They are the first since forces in London and Manchester announced a change in approach over the controversial slogan. They promised to act decisively in the wake of the anti-Semitic attacks in Sydney and Heaton Park. A funeral's been held in Sydney for the Bondi Beach attack's youngest victim. Matilda, who was 10 years old, was one of 15 people killed in the mass shooting at a Hanukkah event on Sunday. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, says taxpayers should not have to pay for a mess at a London council. Westminster City Council awarded contracts to a building firm despite warnings about poor performance and its bankruptcy risks. The company later went bust, leaving taxpayers with a £27 million bill. Ms. Badenoch told LBC that someone needs to be held accountable.
If people make catastrophic decisions and they don't suffer for it, and by that I mean being held accountable, being penalised in some way, being sanctioned, possibly being sacked, right now, what tends to happen is maybe a council is fined for failing in a service or something, or they're sued. But again, the people who pay are always the taxpayer. It is not fair.
Westminster City Council says it followed robust process, but lessons have been learned. Donald Trump's touted his achievements on peacemaking and the economy in a festive address from the White House. He also announced a payment of $1,776 for military personnel paid for by trade tariffs.
More than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call, warrior dividend before Christmas, a warrior dividend.
The Bank of England's expected to cut interest rates to the lowest level since February 2023. Economists are expecting the base rate, which stands at 4%, to be reduced to 3.75% this lunchtime. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen at 97.74. It closed up 89 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.13. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading in from the West Country. Heavy downpours in places, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
This Christmas at Tesco, get a six-pack of Tesco Finest Mince Pies for just £1.50, down from £3 with your Tesco Club card. Finding great prices, that's what makes it Christmas. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores, Mince Pies six-pack ends 25th of December. Club card or app required.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after seven on Thursday, the 18th of December, as police vowed as now to stamp out chants of globalised intifada, and indeed arrests are made. I'll explain to you exactly the meaning of the word intifada and ask whether this is a clampdown on expression and freedom of expression and our liberties, or necessary action that probably should have been taken years ago. In other news, fury in some quarters as it's announced that the United Kingdom will be rejoining the Erasmus programme. It does bear a price. It's in the billions. Chief Executive of the National Youth Agency, Lee Middleton, though, welcomes the news.
Young people couldn't vote in Brexit and so lost the opportunity to, you know, engage with the Erasmus programme, which brings so many opportunities to young people.
To the anti-misogyny courses, which are aimed to stop 11-year-olds indulging in violence against women, possibly the level of killing, and also the extreme or severe porn. We'll look at that in more detail. Jess Phillips is the safeguarding minister.
I am sick of just trying to make slightly nicer plasters for cuts that I never reduce. I have to stop people being harmed in the first place.
And she will join us later in this hour. To the university production of A Gay in a Manger, involving drag queens and a lesbian Mary. Strange, isn't it? And the First Lady, Melania Trump, as you've never seen her before.
Hi, Mr. President. Congratulations.
Did you watch it?
I did not. Yeah, I will see it on the news.
Well, that's how you speak to your husband if he's just become President of the United States, isn't it? It's an Amazon doco or documentary. We'll play you more of it later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Many would say it's taken years, and tragically, the death of innocent partygoers at the weekend in Australia, including a 10-year-old girl and a Holocaust survivor, for finally action to be taken against. Appreciate if you're in a car or on a bike or whatever it might be, that you are hearing the globalise the intifada chant from a recent London protest. Now, as recently as last week, indeed less than 7 days ago, I in part addressed this with the Commissioner of the Met, Sir Mark Rowley. He was here taking your calls, and in response to a call from Sophie in Mill Hill, Sir Mark addressed the difficulties police face when handling these protests and the ambiguity around certain chants and phrases.
I'm sure, I imagine the caller will be concerned about some of the phrases that,
yes,
that have been chanted at some of these protests. Every single one of those, we've put advice requests to the Crown Prosecution Service on a regular basis.
What is the situation? If someone chants from the river to the sea, which you will be aware a lot of people see, not just as anti-Semitic, but threatening and harassment, is an officer instructed to make an arrest or have a word? What does he or she do?
No, they're not, because we've repeatedly gone to CPS, say, can we prosecute in this circumstance? Can we prosecute in that circumstance? And almost without exception, the answer is no. So,
what's the threshold they have to cross?
So it would need to be... So some of the sort of hate crime legislation around sort of being sort of threatening or abusive, and sort of with racist or religious hatred overtones, it doesn't get there. And because what lawyers and people will say is, whilst to some people it means obliteration of Israel and Jews, to other people it has different meanings to that. So that ambiguity means that you can't convict beyond a reasonable doubt in the court of law. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the view I would like it to be, but that's what the law is. Those are the laws at the moment, and we have to work within that.
Well, what a difference 6 days and the lives of some innocent Australians makes, because in a statement yesterday, and in lockstep with Sir Stephen Watson, the Chief Constable, of course, of Greater Manchester, Sir Mark announced that after the attack at the weekend and the attack on a synagogue in Manchester back in October, the Met would be making arrests, and by the way, it has already, at protests for certain chants, in particular globalise the Intifada. So Mark explained.
The two recent terror attacks targeting Jews, the increased fear in Jewish communities, and the high numbers of terrorist attacks disrupted in recent years requires an enhanced response. Current laws are inadequate, and we welcome the fact the Home Secretary has asked Lord Ken MacDonald, KC, to review the current public order and hate crime legislation. The words and chants used, especially in protests, matter and have real-world consequences. We have consistently been advised by CPS that many of the phrases causing concern to Jewish communities don't meet prosecution thresholds. However, now, in the escalating threat context, we will recalibrate our operational actions to be more assertive. We know communities are concerned about placards and chants such as globalised intifada, and those using it at future protests or in a targeted way should expect the Met or Greater Manchester Police to take immediate action. Violence acts have taken place. The context has changed. Words have meanings. Words have consequences. We will act decisively. We will make arrests.
Sir Mark Rowley yesterday. Let's turn first to Stephen Silverman, who's Director of Investigations and Enforcement at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, joining me now. Mr. Silverman, your reaction to the news? Good morning.
Good morning. Although there's some relief that finally at least two police forces are seeing some sense, I think there's a fair amount of fury and frustration over this. The context has not changed. We were saying 2 years ago that these chants would ultimately result in violence against Jews. And look what's happened. We knew that this is where we would end up. And we were gaslit, particularly by Sir Mark Crowley, over the meaning of these chants. And you heard him say there, oh, you know, the Jewish community says it means this, but others are saying this. I'm sorry. We live at a time when any minority, be they Muslim, black people, gay people, disabled people, say, this thing that you are doing makes us feel unsafe. It stops immediately. No one gets to say, oh no, but we actually mean this. That did not happen, as so often, with anti-Semitism, for the Jewish community. And now, as a result of it, there are dead Jews. It's good that this has happened, but it's too little, too late. What about the chance of death to the IDF? What about the chant of Chayba Chayba Ya Yahud, which reminds Jews that of a medieval massacre of Jews by Muslims that is going to come back and revisit them, heard on all these marches? It's not enough. It's something. It's baby steps. We are way past baby steps.
Where would you want it to go next, Mr. Silverman?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that we have been told for 2 years that the Met didn't have the powers to limit the hate marches. And yet they suddenly discovered they did when UKIP wanted to march through Tower Hamlets. These marches aren't just a threat to Jewish life. They are disruptive and menacing for everybody. So they need to be properly limited. They need to take strong action on all of these hateful chants. And there needs to be real deterrence, because all that has been happening so far is that the extremists and the anti-Semites have been emboldened by the inaction we've seen.
Mr. Silverman, if I reach for my Collins English Dictionary, I read that intifada, literal translation from Arabic, means uprising, and the definition being the Palestinian uprising against Israel in the West Bank and Gaza Strip that started at the end of 1987. If I then go to dictionary.com, I'm told the Palestinian uprising against Israel in the West Bank and Gaza Strip that started at the end of 1987. For those who would point you to those definitions, how would you respond?
Well, the meaning of words changes over time, and they develop a common understanding. And everybody knows what is meant by intifada. And you look at the intifada, and it was called the intifada, and people still celebrate it today, that took place at the start of this millennium, which resulted in around 1,000 deaths in Israel by suicide bombings and other means. That's an intifada. It is a call to murder Jews everywhere.
Stephen Silverman, thank you. You're Director of Investigations and Enforcement of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, 12 after 7. Listening to that, Ben Jamal, who's Director of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Same first question to you, Mr. Jamal. Your reaction to the news announced yesterday by Metropolitan and GMP. Morning.
Morning, Nick. Well, I would describe it as another low in the political repression of the right to protest in support of the rights of the Palestinian people in this country, which should concern everybody, anybody who cares about the rights of the Palestinian people and the oppression of the Palestinian people, anyone who cares about the implementation of international law, but anybody who cares about core democratic freedoms in this country. Let me express my position on these issues in relation to freedom of expression, free speech. I'm not what I might call a free speech zealot. I think there are limitations on political speech. I don't think people should be allowed to make very clear incitements to violence against civilians. But you've indicated yourself, and you played the clip from Mark Rowley, on the legal advice that the police have had, that there are many interpretations of what the use of the phrase intifada, the word intifada, might mean. And the legal advice has been there is no threshold to say. Well, what we've just heard...
Mr. Jamal, will you accept that some of those include violence? I'll read you from the Cambridge English Dictionary. A violent act of opposition by the Palestinian people to the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. From the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. No, I did read two to my other contributor. An armed uprising of Palestinians against Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. You can understand why they cause alarm and distress for some Jewish people.
You said that the word literally means uprising.
And I mean, words it's literal change
meaning,
over time.
Its literal meaning in Arabic is a shaking off, but it has come to be used in a political context to mean an uprising against repression.
But words change.
So across the Arab world, for example, it is used as a phrase to describe the uprisings against the brutal regime of Mubarak. Yes,
but words change.
In the
Mr.
Palestinian,
Jamal.
Well, let me finish, Nick. In the Palestinian context, its first popularization, as you said, was in 1987, with the uprising that was overwhelmingly peaceful, marked by strikes, marked by the withholding of tax revenues, marked by protest, an uprising that was brutally repressed by Israeli forces. Yitzhak Rabin famously said, let's break all of their bones.
Mr. Jamal, I must just put you... You've got to allow, please, you must allow me to put this to you, because we've only got a minute left. Mr. Jamal, why would you want to carry on with this chant when you know you're causing distress and alarm to fellow citizens?
Well, because if you say, because this is where we end up, if you say that there is only one meaning, you are ignoring the fact, as I've said, it has other meanings. So what you are effectively doing is saying we should criminalize support in any shape or form for any form of legitimate Palestinian resistance to oppression. People should not be able to express...
And I'm talking over again. You can protest without... Mr. Jamal, you can protest without using those words. You know... Okay, Mr. Jamal, I must leave it there. I'm sorry. You're not allowing the punctuation of this conversation. You're not allowing me to challenge you. We have a set time because we have to get to the news. You have had a fair opportunity. And my point is you can protest without using words that clearly cause distress and alarm. Ben Jamal, thank you for your time. You're director of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. We're already late to the news. 16 after 7. LBC headlines. Thomas Watts.
All secondary schools in England will have to teach pupils about healthy relationships to tackle misogyny. Two people have been arrested in London over slogans calling for intifada at a demonstration. And the Conservative leader says councillors in London must be held accountable over claims they wasted £27 million. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading in from southwest England. A high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The Archie's on the M11 southbound. It's partly blocked because a car has broken down after Junction 7 for Harlow. It's slow in Enfield. The A10 Great Cambridge Road northbound is closed because of an accident, but in the Retail Park and Carter Hatch Lane. In Bermondsey, Tower Bridge Road northbound is partly blocked at Caledonian Market because of an accident. On the trains, Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hertford East. That's because of flooding at Rye House. On the Tube, there's no service on the District Line between Turnham Green and Ealing Broadway, and minor delays on the rest of the District Line. That's because of problems with the signals. And there's no service on the Bakerloo Line all day between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wealdstone, and minor delays on the rest of the line. That's because of an investigation at the depot.
LBC.
This Christmas at Tesco, 24 cans of Pepsi Max are just £6.75. That's down from £11.50 with your Tesco Club card. Finding great prices. That's what makes it Christmas. Tesco. Every little helps. Majority of larger stores excludes Northern Ireland. Ends 31st of December. Club card or app required.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
At Fidelity, we've been helping our customers plan for their retirements for nearly 20 years. From understanding how much you'll need to combining multiple pensions, we offer expert insights, excellent service, and even financial advice, so you can feel confidently invested in your future. For pensions, advice, or investment accounts, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Transferring is not right for everyone. Terms apply.
Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Make this Christmas a jingle belter from well-nice appetizers like Aldi's Himalayan salt-aged smoked salmon to proper naughty desserts, such as their melting milk chocolate baubles with caramel sauce. Your table spread will totally slay. Go all fancy with Aldi, specially selected.
There's an old Thai saying,
that roughly translates as the family who takes the internet on holiday can locate a less crowded beach. Particularly handy, my friends, if it's peak mating season for nippy little crabs. Pack the internet with an eSIM from Airalo. That's A-I-R-A-L-O.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
19 minutes after 7. Let's quickly go through the front pages. David, you'll be the first caller in just a few moments' time. And both the Daily Telegraph and the Times have the story that we're doing on the front page. Police about to stamp out chance for intifada. The Telegraph and the Daily Mail. The Telegraph has this story on its front page as well, and the Daily Mail leads with it, or splashes with it. The cost of Starmer's new bid to suck up to Brussels. This is the Erasmus programme. You can get whichever figure you like. £6 billion is what the Daily Mail is suggesting. £8 billion is what the Daily Telegraph. I'll be arguing in a few moments' time it's money well spent. Yes, you did hear that correctly. It's money well spent, and I'll be explaining to you why in a moment. If we're talking about money, the Metro tells us that Starmer is in a £2.5 billion Chelsea transfer demand. Almost works, that one. He wants the money back from Roman Abramovich, of course, the former owner of Chelsea. And if we're talking about people in football clubs, let me tell you about Pep Guardiola. Mr Guardiola earns around £20 million a year from Manchester City, but he can no longer keep his tapas bar open in Manchester because of rising costs. So if you're struggling keeping your pub or your restaurant or even your cafe going, just imagine with Pep Guardiola's many, many millions, 20 a year, he can't keep going with all the changes this government has made, something we might put to a minister a little bit later. To the LBC app, and they're telling us again, the LBC app is telling you about this change in the policing as regards the expression of global intifada, and we'll take calls on that in just a moment. And quickly to the Huff Post, which is saying that it was another bad day, another blow for Starmer, as one of his closest allies is ousted from a key union post. Let's pick up with David in Horsham. David, to ban or not to ban, that is the question, the word intifada. Where are you on that? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Forgive my voice. I've got a touch of the lurgy. So I tell you what, for sounding like this.
You could do voiceovers for like a Scotch or something.
Yeah, I was just thinking exactly
like
that. I think I'm in the wrong career. Yes, I definitely think I'm going to change my career.
That's fantastic.
I've just listened to the police commissioner talking there about the context changing. The context hasn't changed. What's changed is 15 Australians have been murdered.
Yep.
And I think this is, for me, the key thing here is it is a complete and utter lack of leadership, political leadership and leadership in the policing system, where they have to wait for something serious to happen before action is taken, when it was obvious to me, and I think to most right-thinking people, that these calls for intifada, for the jihad, and all of this Islamic murdering nonsense, and yeah, you can tell me that 99% of Muslims aren't violent. I know, I've heard it all before. But the bottom line...
Hold on, sir. It's true.
Kill people. Yeah, maybe it's true, but it doesn't stop the 1% killing me. And that's the point we need to worry about. And these people are, they are emboldened by a lack of action in democratic societies because we're fearful of offending people and their religion. And I'm fed up with it, just like most people are bloody fed up with it. And as far as I'm concerned, this lack of leadership in policing and in politics has gone on for too long.
How do British police forces, namely in London and in Manchester, how do they look now that they've taken their action? But as you rightly interpret, this is because they're in the process of burying 15 people in Australia.
They look weak, they look leaderless, they look pathetic, they look utterly beholden to some kind of woke desire to stop offending people. When did anybody have the right not to be offended? I don't care about being offended. You can offend me all you like. It's up to me how I deal with my feelings. And I'm fed up with not offending other people because we might worry about how they feel about their damn religion. I don't care. And frankly, right now, I think we've got to the point where the majority of people in this country feel the same as I do. And I believe a reckoning is coming. When it comes to the election in May, you will see a huge, huge change of direction in this country. And people will criticize it. Oh, we're going right. We're going right. I don't care. What we're doing is, I think we're going to a place of safety where we need to do something to stop this madness.
David, I hope your voice gets better. Thank you. The elections to which David refers, of course, are much of the country, and I do mean the United Kingdom here, across much of England and Wales and in Scotland as well. David, get better. Thank you for that. Let's see what others make of it. Coming up on 24 minutes after 7. Take more calls on that in a moment. But let's come to those two front pages I mentioned in a moment. I'll take from there, both the Daily Mail and the Daily Telegraph. This is the cost of returning to the Erasmus programme. One paper saying, one of them saying, it's an £8.75 million bill after Sir Keir Starmer agreed to deal to rejoin the European Union, announcing that we would rejoin the Erasmus scheme. To remind you, this allows students to spend a year studying at a European university. Of course, it went as part of Brexit. Now, the government says rejoining Erasmus will cost £570 million in 2027 for 1 year. The Telegraph, and figures differ here with the Daily Mail, but I'll take this from the Telegraph, understands ongoing membership will increase considerably as Brussels will hike the prices. And they work out that the bloc, so Europe could charge Britain around £1.25 billion a year between 2028 and 2034. That's how they get to that sum. Kevin Schofield, political editor at Huff Post UK, joins me now. Kevin, many people are saying this is part of Sir Keir and others within Labour trying to cosy back up to Brussels. How do you respond to that charge? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair enough, and I don't think the government would say that's not true either. They do want to reset Britain's relationship with the EU, and if that means, you know, signing up to programmes such as Erasmus. If you remember, this was a totemic issue, really, when Boris Johnson pulled the UK out of Erasmus. Lots of people threw their hands up in the air saying this would stop British students from being able to study and visit European institutions. So that there's been a campaign from student bodies, from universities themselves as well, saying, look, let's get us back in here. Now, the government has said from the very beginning, yeah, we are looking to do that. The big row now is how much it's costing them.
Where do you think the average voter is on this, Kevin?
I think the average voter will look at those front pages in the Mail and Telegraph and think, hang on a minute, what on earth are we doing spending all that money? So the headline figure doesn't look good from a government point of view. However, I think once it's explained to them that their own kids, if they're at university, will benefit from it, then they might think, well, actually, perhaps money well spent. Now, the government are very keen to stress that they've had a good deal. That's what they said yesterday to us. It says that this is a really good deal. At the moment, all we know for certain is it's going to cost £570 million in the first year. Mm-hmm. Now, the government has managed to negotiate a 30% discount, and they wanted a 50% discount, but the EU played hardball. What we don't know is how much it's going to cost in future years. And, you know, you pay your money, you take your choice. We've heard what the Mail and Telegraph have said. The Times say it's going to cost £1 billion a year. It's a lot of money, but the government insists that this will benefit young people and also be an economic boost because it's a two-way scheme. It means that European students will be able to come here.
Kevin Schofield is political editor at HuffPost UK. Kevin, thank you for that. Coming to you for a moment, Ronan, you'll be the first caller, 27 after 7. This might surprise you, but I think it's money well spent. Goodness knows we'd have enough provision, quite rightly, for people, older people here, with their state pension. Quite rightly, I hope you can all hear that, and other allowances in certain extent. So, all right, of course it's a lot of money. But in the terms of running a country, the first price, as Kevin Schofield rightly says, that we know, is £570 million. Well, in terms of running a country, giving young people the opportunity to go, and if the money is paid, by the way, so that people could obviously have tuition and live overseas, live in Europe, I should say, well, I'm arguing that it's money well spent, but do you agree? Ronan's in Barcelona. Ronan, what are you doing in Barcelona? Good morning.
Hi, morning, Nick. So I'm currently a student at Warwick who's doing a year abroad in Barcelona.
Brilliant.
And I'm honestly so pleased the government has taken the decision to rejoin the Erasmus programme. I think it's such a big win for all British students who, of course, now have had absolutely no say in the 2016 referendum.
Yep. What is it? What are you learning? What are you gaining as a person by doing, I assume, a 12-month stint in Spain?
Well, so I'm studying politics here, but it's honestly much bigger than that. So I've obviously spent my whole life up until now in the UK. I'm meeting so many different people from across both Europe and the wider world. And it's just been such an eye-opening, unique, exciting experience living here. And I'm just so pleased that now future UK students will be way more incentivized to do what we're doing here.
Lastly, is there an unfortunate and unintentional class divide here in that you're at Warwick, which is one of the premier universities? Congratulations to you. I imagine you probably attended quite a good school as well, and you did well. There are kids who don't go to those sort of schools, who don't go to universities such as Warwick, who don't even know about programs such as Erasmus, who the idea of this is way beyond their means or even their understanding. Ronan.
No, I think it's the opposite. Firstly, I went to a state school and now go to Warwick from there. And there's a lot of state school students who I live with at Warwick. And secondly, I think there's such a class divide when we're outside of Erasmus, because just to get a visa alone, we're not given any funding for it. And right. It costs just over £800 after police checks, health right. checks, translation of documents, notarization of documents. Whereas I hope now that will be addressed and students will have more guidance on how to navigate their way through that. And secondly, then up until before the Erasmus programme, students aren't given any money to outlet with their studies. It's only the tutoring scheme which gives different amounts to different students. Some students not getting any money at all. So actually, I'd say it's the opposite. I'd say this opens the door for working class students to study in Europe.
Lastly, Ronan, studying politics, am I going to be speaking to you if I live long enough? Am I going to be speaking to you one day as a politician, or what are you going to do with it?
Who knows, man? I'm not entirely sure, yeah.
Who knows, man? I imagine you're coming home for Christmas. So if not, have a happy Christmas, whatever you do. Good luck with your studies, Ronan. Thanks for calling in from Barcelona. Classic example, of course, the Turing scheme, which is a sort of an Erasmus of sorts, and how much Ronan is benefiting from that. We might pick up on that conversation with others. You might be surprised. I say, well done. Spend the money. Help the kids. Why not? Goodness me. Talking about money, can we have our cash back, Roman Abramovich?
£2.5 billion since then has been sitting in a bank account because Roman Abramovich is not living up to the commitments that he made. And so we're taking action.
As, of course, Chancellor Rachel Reeves. Plus, the first look at the First Lady in a different style.
Everyone wants to know. So here it is.
That's Melania. Which is, by the way, the documentary is called Melania, the First Lady in the 20 days leading up to the big day. And we'll play you more of that through the course of the show. It is 7:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. News headlines, Thomas Watts.
Ministers are due to publish a long-awaited strategy on tackling violence against women and girls. It includes compulsory lessons on healthy relationships, consent and intimate image abuse in England's secondary schools. Two people have been arrested over the chanting of an Intifada slogan at a protest in London. It follows a change in approach by the Metropolitan Police and Greater Manchester Police in the wake of anti-Semitic attacks in Sydney and Manchester. The Conservatives say Westminster City Council must be held accountable over claims it wasted nearly £30 million. It awarded contracts to a building firm despite warnings about poor performance and bankruptcy risks. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading from the West Country, quite heavy downpours in places, a high of 12 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
We're going to be talking about Susie Wiles, Trump's chief of staff, who's just given an explosive interview to Vanity Fair. But was it a mistake? And we'll be asking if the Tories are back from the dead.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Stopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
Gift more for less when you shop at the O2 this Christmas. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 of their favourite designer brands, including Nike, Tommy Hilfiger, Le Creuset, the cosmetics company store, and Lindt. Ticked everyone off your list. Start the festivities at one of our 30 bars and restaurants. Enjoy a movie or get competitive with bowling, climbing, interactive football, indoor skydiving, and more. Find us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 to start planning your visit.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
More of your reaction coming in, and we'll feature those. The Erasmus programme, as Britain re-enters that, and, of course, the definition of the word intifada, global intifada. Say it now at police demos, certainly in London and Manchester. and you risk getting nicked. And I'm arguing that it probably makes sense if you look at enough dictionary definitions. More on that in a moment. Have I told you the time? It's just coming up at 7:34. Into the world of finance. Big day, D-Day, of course. Interest rates. Let's turn to Kathleen Brooks, who's financial analyst and research director at the trading platform XTB, joining me now. What's the market betting on this? Kathleen, morning to you.
Hi, Nick. Yeah, it looks incredibly likely that we're going to get a rate cut today. It's over 90% expectation in financial markets. So that would be the fourth rate cut this year. And it comes after yesterday's larger than expected fall in inflation for November. So rates are expected to decline to 3.75%. And even the governor is expected to vote for a cut at this meeting. And it could actually pave the way for some more cuts to come next year.
What do they hope a cut brings about? How do we see if it's worked?
So that's really interesting because we've had, this would be the fourth cut and yet growth has really flatlined since June. So part of that, what they really hope is that it boosts confidence. Now, in the lead up to the budget, we know that confidence, both business confidence and consumer confidence was kind of given a kicking, essentially. So they hope that that confidence with the lower interest rates helps people to spend and then that will trigger some growth probably from the second quarter on of next year.
Who's having to say ta-ta to a tapas bar?
Oh, yeah, Pep Guardiola. His tapas restaurant in Manchester, that's closing after 7 years. They're going to close it next week. So he opened it with a five-timed Michelin-starred chef called Paco Perez in 2018, and it specialises in Catalan cuisine. But like a lot of businesses in this sector, they've blamed rising costs and challenging trading conditions, and it obviously comes really hot on the heels of the budget, where business rates on restaurants and pubs went up by, you know, 14% in some cases. You've also got the rise in the national living wage as well, but I think when you've got like well-heeled football bosses who have tons of money and they don't think it's viable for a business case for running a restaurant in this country, then surely somebody's got to stand up and notice and say, you know, we've got to do something here.
Something I'll put to a government minister later in this hour, just for the purpose for my listeners. Mr. Guardiola earns in the region of £20 million a year from Manchester City.
Yeah.
And he's struggling keeping his club, restaurant going. No wonder others are struggling with clubs and pubs. Okay, two other matters. No struggles down at the O2 then.
Oh, no. I think we spoke about this last year, actually, Nick, where they had a record-breaking year. Well, they've had another record-breaking year in 2025, and they've seen, you know, profits rise by 19%. So they've sold more than 2.9 million tickets in 2025. That's up over 11%. So they were boosted by the likes of, they had Sabrina Carpenter, Tate McRae, and Pitbull. They all delivered a multi-night sold-out runs for their very first time performing at the O2. But the biggest winner, so the biggest draw was actually, it was a golden oldie, really. It was Radiohead. They broke the record for having the highest peak of fans for their four-night run at 22,355. So I think that's great news, and it just shows, you know, the continued strength of live music in this country, and that consumers, they're really willing to pay up for these events and to pay for live music. You know, some of these tickets, the premium sales can, you know, the premium tickets can cost like £150 plus.
When were you last at the O2, Kathleen? Have you seen something there lately?
Do you know, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
I know, it was ridiculous. It was to see Mamma Mia. So I've got to go back. Yeah, it's just a good reminder to go back. But I'm pleased that everybody else is around me.
Any business that's doing well, we celebrate. Now, we talked a bit about Manchester City. Why is BP a bit like Nottingham Forest in that they keep changing their boss? Who's the latest arrival?
So it's Meg O'Neill. So last night, no one was expecting this. It was released really late last night to say that the current boss, Mary Auchincloss, was leaving immediately. So he's gone. He's out of there. And that he was going to be replaced by Meg O'Neill. That was after... they've had, you know, obviously they've had continued problems. They recently got a new chairman. It looks like he kind of booted out Mary Auchincloss. But Meg O'Neill's really, really interesting. She'd been at over 20 years ExxonMobil. Obviously that's a big US oil and gas firm, but she is solidly oil and gas. She's also an outsider. She's not from inside BP. Like, you know, Murray was there for, you know, multiple decades, actually.
Yes.
Like many others that have led BP, and some would say maybe not led them quite in the right direction. But I think this is a move to say they are going back to hydrocarbons. They're not going, you know, yes, they might have a little bit of a mix of renewable energy, but the focus will be hydrocarbons. And she really is, you know, she's also the first female, which I think is a great choice. She's going back to their roots. So she said that her own goal is to reestablish the oil giant's market leadership in oil. So she didn't mention anything about renewables. So it's not beyond petroleum anymore.
Quite a challenge, BP, well done. Quite a challenge ahead of her. Kathleen Brooks is financial analyst and research director of the trading platform XTP. Thank you for that. 7:39. David, the caller, if you're still listening with your strong views on the global intifada conversation, there's so much support for you. Well said, David. Simply says Jane in Cromer. Even Hazelmere, that man was incredible. It's exactly what our views in this country. Maureen in Stamford, wow. He strongly spoke for me, and I suspect the majority of the British public. I couldn't have put it any better myself. Our leaders are pathetic and endangering innocent people's lives. David, if you're still listening, a lot of support for you there. Not everyone's in favour of the Erasmus news, though, the rejoining. John in Reading, if the cost of Erasmus will rise to $1.2 billion per year, and if 10,000 UK students take part in each year, that will cost the taxpayer $120,000 per year per student. That sounds like a lot of money in anybody's books. I don't think it's limited to 10,000, though. I will check about that. And other people are concerned as about the caller, but another John says, oh my goodness, for the first time in 2025, and when you consider I've only got about three shows to go, three and a bit shows to go, for the first time this year we agree on a topic. Erasmus is a sensible opportunity for our students to learn from studying in Europe, says John. Jim is in, okay, do I say Nerja? Is that right, in Spain? Good morning.
Nerja.
My apologies, Nerja.
Okay.
What are you going to tell me about the Erasmus programme?
Well, I don't know if this new incarnation of it will be any different, but I was actually on it in the early 90s. Oh, yes. And just to qualify this, I was a mature student, mm-hmm. so I've sort of got a frame of reference on this as well, mm-hmm. which is basically we had a jolly up for a year. Nice. Yeah, we did a bit of work in the lab, and when the year was up, we had to do a 10,000-word dissertation. But for what we actually got out of it was a holiday. It was just a holiday, really.
Right.
I was in Paris for a year. Now, I sort of thought back then, years before that, I was actually a London bus driver on the old RMs.
Right, and Route Masters.
Yeah, that's the one. And
yep.
I'd do the early shifts. And 4 o'clock in the morning, the bus would be packed with like African ladies all going off to do their early morning cleaning jobs.
Yes.
And I reflected on it. I thought, these people are the people paying for all this. Because it is a jolly up for a year.
Can you say, while it is for you, Jim, and tremendous that you went from being a bus driver and then and doing a year's course of everything, but no, you can't say that for every single person it's a jolly up, Jim, can you?
No, I can't. However, I stayed in a resident hall called the College Franco-Britannic, where all the English students stayed. And basically, if anyone did an hour's work a day, it was a huge amount. And they were, across the board, they were doing all different kinds of courses.
But
so I saw a place filled with a couple of hundred students.
Right.
And,
but,
you know, go
but
on.
You learnt French?
Oh, I did.
But that shouldn't have been at
the cost of the cleaning lady, should it, really?
What do you do now?
I'm retired now.
Oh, right, I see. So that's why you're living in Spain.
Exactly.
All right. And the other people, they were equally just having a jolly up last year, the other students you were with, would you say?
Oh, no, that's what I was saying. Because I was in an environment where there was hundreds of other students living in the same huge building, you could see every day there'd be parties in people's rooms and all the rest of it.
I think that's student life, really. But, Jim, you've done it, I haven't, and that's your view of it as a mature student. Be safe in Spain. Thank you, Jim. I've got to move on. But you're not going to alter my view. I still think it's a good chance for the kids. And it is a lot of money. So if we're talking about money, what about the plea to one Roman Abramovich? Can we have our cash back?
My message to Abramovich is this. The clock is ticking. Honour the commitment that you made and pay up now. And if you don't, we're prepared to go to court so every penny reaches those whose lives have been torn apart by Putin's illegal war.
Isn't that funny? That's the Keir Starmer. We're prepared to go to court. Honestly, it packs all the punches saying you'll have to go to bed early, really, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you exactly tremble or fear, does it? To Eleanor Myers, who's financial services reporter with Politico in London, joins me now. Eleanor, what is the money, the amount of money we're talking about, and how long has this row been going on? Good morning.
Good morning. So it's about 2.5 billion from the sale of Chelsea. Chelsea was sold in 2022, shortly after Roman Abramovich was sanctioned. Most of his assets are just frozen, but I think with Chelsea, everyone decided that was one that made sense to sell. It was sold to an American consortium, but the profits from that sale have been frozen since then. And the disagreement is to how those profits are used. Roman Abramovich has said that he wanted the funds of the sale to go towards all victims of the war, which has been interpreted as meaning both Russian and Ukrainian victims, whereas the British government has been very clear that they only, you know, they want the vast majority of that money to go towards Ukrainians. And so that is what the disagreement is about.
While appreciating you're not a lawyer, what are the what are the chances of this? And talking about going to court, what are the legal, yeah, if you can help me, if you can't just say, what are the legal measures that could be pursued?
So I have spoken to a lot of lawyers about this. While I am not a lawyer myself, you're correct. It's difficult to understand what kind of legal basis the government would have for pursuing Mr. Abramovich, unless, you know, there may be things that they are not telling us. You know, these are frozen assets, they're sanctioned assets, but the funds from that sale are still Mr. Abramovich's money, and the government can't direct him to spend it in a way that they wish, you know, unfortunately, even though I'm sure many of your listeners would like to see that money go towards Ukraine, it is still Mr. Abramovich's money.
When the Chancellor, lastly, Eleanor, when the Chancellor says, and I quote, we're prepared to do what is necessary, what does that mean? They can't really do anything. He's not living here. They can't really do anything, can they?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they're just kind of upping the ante. They're trying to increase pressure on him. You know, certainly he has been receptive, at least to giving some of the money towards, you know, Ukrainian victims of the war. But I think, you know, it comes down to the fact that these are still his assets. And I think one of the, you know, when people think about sanctions, they see sanctions as a punishment. You know, sanctions are not a punishment. They are a diplomatic tool that's used to try and engage a different type of behaviour from a state actor. And when we sanction Russia and we sanction Iran, what we're saying is if you change your behaviour, there's a chance you'll get this money back. And that means those assets are frozen in time and they're not supposed to be touched by the British government.
Eleanor, many thanks for your time. Eleanor Myers, financial services reporter with Politico in London. Coming up after the news, you're going to be hearing from Safeguarding Minister Jess Phillips.
I am sick of just trying to make slightly nicer plasters for cuts that I never reduce. I have to stop people being harmed in the first place.
Stamping out misogyny among school children, pre-teens. She'll be telling us more after this. 7:46, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Teachers will be trained to identify harmful behaviour in boys as part of a plan to halve violence against women and girls. Police in London have made two arrests over chanting for intifada at a pro-Palestinian demonstration. And the Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, says taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for a mess at a London council. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Gough. The Archies on the M25 anti-clockwise. Traffic has been held because of an accident between Junction 11 for Chertsey and Junction 10 for the A3. There are also queues on the M25 clockwise. Traffic has also been held because of an accident between Junction 7 for the M23 and Junction 8 for Reigate. It's slow on the M1 southbound. Two lanes are closed before Junction 11 for Luton because a car has broken down. There are delays in Enfield. The A10 Great Cambridge Road northbound is closed because of an accident between Retail Park and Carter Hatch Lane. On the trains, Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hartford East because of flooding. On the Tube, there's no District Line eastbound from Ealing Broadway to Turnham Green because of problems with the signals. And there's no service on the Bakerloo Line all day between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wealdstone.
This is LBC.
At Lidl, get our deluxe Winter Wonderland Chocolate Village Cheesecake with gooey caramel chocolate ganache and a crumbly base. Only £6.99 with Lidl Plus. And it's Good Housekeeping Institute taste approved. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only, subject to availability. Selected stores, terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/LBTV. Ends 24th of the 12th.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
gift more for less when you shop at the O2 this Christmas. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 of their favourite designer brands, including Nike, Tommy Hilfiger, Le Creuset, the Cosmetics Company Store and Lindt. Ticked everyone off your list. Start the festivities at one of our 30 bars and restaurants. Enjoy a movie or get competitive with bowling, climbing, interactive football, indoor skydiving and more. Find us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 to start planning your visit.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video. The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So, if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before 8 is the time. Might come back to your views. A lot of you have views about the Erasmus programme. I'm still saying I think it's a good idea to help our young people, our university students. But let's go even younger than this next conversation. Boys as young as 11 could be sent on anti-misogyny courses designed to stamp out violence against women and girls. The government has announced pupils who cause concerns will be put on what are called behaviour change programmes in schools. More details now from the Labour MP and relevant Minister, Minister for Safeguarding and Violence Against Women and Girls, Jess Phillips. My goodness, it's been a while since I've seen you, Minister. I trust all is well in your young life. Thank you for coming on. What is it that you're announcing today, Minister? Good morning.
Can I just first and foremost thank you for calling me young? I feel,
compared to me,
I feel delighted by my youth now.
Compared to me, you are. Minister, what are you announcing today?
So what we're announcing, I mean, the Violence Against Women and Girls strategy will be published today. And so as well as the specific announcements around what we will be doing to prevent violence from happening in the first place amongst our young people, there will be a huge range of policies that are being announced to really tackle the issue of violence against women and girls, which the government has committed to halving within a decade. And so around the schools announcements that will be are part of that broader strategy, we will be both ensuring that good evidence-based healthy relationship education is rolled out by the end of the parliament to every secondary state school in the country, but also this targeted approach. We will be working to create evidence-based specialist resources and interventions for teachers and parents and children themselves to refer themselves to if they are concerned about their behaviours, but also if teachers spot signs of sexually harmful behaviours, such as, for example, the sharing of intimate images. I've met with teachers who told me about violent pornography being watched in the school itself and various other things. And this is what teachers, parents and I have to say the victims of youth young violence in this area have asked for.
You say that the government target is to halve it. What level are we at now then? What are the number of offences?
Say that again, sorry, Nick.
You say the government target is to halve the number of offences. Yes. Yeah. What is okay, the level we're at now, Minister?
So one in eight women last year reported that they had been a victim of violence against women and girls. And on the basis of the ONS, the Crime Survey of England and Wales, there was 10 million incidences in the last year using the combined metric of domestic abuse, stalking and sexual assaults, including rape.
What is the sort of behaviour an 11-year-old boy would exhibit that would give cause for concern?
I think I've given you some examples. The issues of...
porn was 11-year-old boys exchanging porn.
I go into schools, and most constituency MPs across the country will be going into schools, and actually the teaching unions came out, I think, around 9 months ago to say that the growing levels of misogyny that they were seeing, both targeted at girls in their schools, but also at teachers, female teachers. I'm not going to teach teachers how to suck eggs. They know. And they're already telling us what they can see. So the kind of behaviours that we are talking about are the things like the sharing of intimate images whether people are showing sexually aggressive behaviours. And if my son, you know, I am the mother of two sons, although mm-hmm. they are neither of them any longer at school because, unlike you asserted, I am not actually that young.
young in my eyes.
Oh, yes. That's very kind of you. What I know is that my son's school, for example, if there was any concerns around things like knife crime, them growing up in Birmingham, or if they were sharing extremist views, the government provides schemes for teachers, whether that's the Prevent programme, whether that's things to do with reducing knife crime incidents. There were schemes for those people to be sent on, and they haven't existed for this particular crime type.
So a behaviour change programme, Minister, who would take those sessions? Would they be specialist teachers? Would they be existing teachers? Who would staff them?
So in the very first instance, we're going to have to invent this, Nick, because this doesn't currently exist. And so what we will do is we will commission evidence-based pilots to look into exactly what behaviour changes in sexually harmful behaviours or misogyny that we can commission, and they will be rolled out. But look, I think that the reality is that this stuff is always best delivered by specialists working alongside and training teachers to do it as they go.
In a related conversation, the government announced there will be the so-called grooming gang inquiry, mm-hmm. but you'll be aware that some of the survivors have decided that they want to come away from taking part. How disappointed are you by that news, Minister?
I think that just for clarity, I don't think that the victims have said that they won't take part in the inquiry, is that some of the victims had left the victims panel, which
victims
led up
panel.
To the... Yeah, just to be clear.
Of course.
And look, in the positions that of the chair in Anne Longfield, a long and very, very conviction-driven children's campaigner, we have somebody who I feel very, very confident will put victims absolutely at the heart of a very laser-focused grooming gang inquiry. And confidence across the board, we are talking about a group of people who have been failed by almost every institution that they ever came across. And so building up trust to make sure that the inquiry truly gets to the truth will be absolutely fundamental to how that is set up.
But my question was, how disappointed are you that some have left to take a part in the panel? That must be disappointing.
It's always hard when people don't feel that they can take part. And actually, I take every word that victims from all sides of this debate say, and I take it on board very, very deeply. And actually, the hardest thing is to make sure that we're doing the right thing to get this right and to keep laser focused, really, really focused on the outcome. That has got to always be my concern, but those victims' voices deserve to be listened to. So it's not that I'm disappointed in them or disappointed. I have to listen.
All right. A couple of other conversations to have as you are the government minister. How do you see the word intifada as having overtones of violence, Minister?
I think calling for a global to globalise the infittata can only really have. I'm not sure what other interpretation there is of infittata other than like an uprising.
It's intifada, of course.
Intifada.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, excuse me.
Yes, that's right.
Is to call for uprising. But look, we've seen what can happen in an environment where the idea of calling people to arms or violence,
yes,
that is a very real thing that is happening across our country.
But noting you're not the Home Secretary and you're not the, yes, Chief of Police, I note that, but why did it would appear to have taken the murder of 15 innocent people in Australia to have this change of tack? I appreciate you're not the Home Secretary, but it's a fair question to put.
Look, I'm not the Home Secretary, but I feel like actually I feel fairly confident in speaking for her, is that I think that the Metropolitan Police have absolutely done the right thing here, and how police operationalise the laws in our country is down to, you know, individual police forces. However, what I would say is that the Home Secretary is undertaking a review specifically of public order and hate crime to make sure that the police have the exact tools across the country that they need to deal with this issue.
Sorry.
And has invested heavily, £10 million extra this year to a total of £28 million, in ensuring that safety and security of our Jewish community and their schools and places of worship and elsewhere is absolutely a primary priority of the government.
So you will share the dismay of many that the BBC described the Intifada on its website as largely unarmed and popular.
I mean, I haven't seen that, but look, to me, when you say when people start shouting things like globalise the Intifada, the connotation is. Mm. Is clear.
Lastly, we've got problems in the economy. Everyone accepts that. Growth is rather slow. And we've got problems in the hospitality sector. They're crying foul after last month's budget, saying that in some venues are having their pay an extra 75% in various taxes and other matters. When the millionaire boss of Manchester City, who is paid £20 million a year, says his tapas restaurant in Manchester can no longer continue because of the huge tax demands. What does that say about this country, Jess Phillips?
Look, what I would say is that, I feel like I've got some skin in this game, in that my son works in hospitality, and I have to say, when you're talking about people who work full-time in this, some of the actions that the government has taken are around making sure that those people are paid properly, increases in the minimum wage. But look,
business rates,
they are a vitally, vitally important part of our economy, and the government is stretching every muscle that it can to ensure that we are seeing growth in our economy,
minus 0.1, Jess.
But and yet today we expect an announcement in the interest rates falling again. We have seen inflation falling. Look, we're never ever going to massively improve what was frankly a broken economy in 18 months. But we are seeing the green shoots of that recovery.
Business rates going up. Jess Phillips, VAT staying at 20%, alcohol duty to rise in line with inflation. That doesn't help your son and others who are in this game, does it?
Well, it does if he needs a hospital bed.
Grateful for your time, Jess Phillips. £20 million package to try and stamp out misogyny. Happy Christmas if I don't see you beforehand. Safeguarding and Violence Against Women and Girls Minister Jess Phillips appearing here on LBC 1 minute after 8 news headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, the government is due to publish its long-awaited strategy on tackling violence against women and girls. It includes compulsory lessons on healthy relationships, consent and intimate image abuse in England's secondary schools. Boys as young as 11 could be referred to anti-misogyny courses if they display problem behaviour. The safeguarding minister, Jess Phillips, has told Nick that includes the sharing of pornography.
I've met with teachers who told me about violent pornography being watched in the school itself and various other things. And this is what teachers, parents, and I have to say the victims of youth young violence in this area have asked for.
Two people have been arrested in London over chants calling for intifada. The arrests were made during a protest by pro-Palestinian demonstrators outside the Ministry of Justice last night. It follows a change in approach by the police in the wake of the anti-Semitic attacks in Sydney and Manchester. A funeral has been held in Sydney for the Bondi Beach attack's youngest victim, Matilda, who was 10 years old, was one of 15 people killed in the mass shooting at a Hanukkah event on Sunday. The Conservatives say Westminster City Council must be held accountable over claims it wasted nearly £30 million. It awarded contracts to a building firm despite warnings about poor performance and bankruptcy risks. The company later went bust, leaving taxpayers with a £27 million bill. The Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, told LBC it is a catastrophic mess.
I mean, I feel very, very sorry for Westminster residents. There are a lot of people out there who are working hard, doing double shifts, and now they're going to have to pay for the mess that the Labour Council there has made.
The authority says it followed robust process, but that lessons have been learned. The Bank of England is expected to announce a cut to interest rates later. Policymakers could make a quarter point reduction to the base rate from 4 to 3.75% this lunchtime. And England's cricketers have endured another grim day on their Ashes tour of Australia. They reached close of play in Adelaide on 213 for 8 in their first innings, trailing the hosts by 158 runs. Ben Stokes' side must win the third test to keep the series alive. In the city, the FTSE 100 is reopening at 97.74 after closing up 89 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 13. LBC weather, cloudy for many today with rain spreading from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after eight on Thursday, the 18th of December, coming up in this hour. We'll go back to that conversation I was having with the relevant government minister there. A £20 million package and programme to stamp out misogyny, keep girls safe, identify boys as young as 11. We're asking that particularly, by the way, if you are a teacher or you work in education, you're a TA, teacher's assistant, do let me know what you make of that. If we're talking about money,
Labour will allow six areas in and around London the powers to make larger council tax hikes after cutting their share of government funding. I'm LBC's Natasha Clark with the full report.
Due to be released in the cinemas in January, so here's a first look at a First Lady.
Hi, Mr. President. Congratulations.
Did you watch it?
I did not. Yeah, I will see it on the news.
So that's the trailer for the Amazon documentary Melania. That's the First Lady ringing the putative First Lady ringing her candidate husband, soon to be president. She hadn't watched it. It's called the first 20 days leading up to her inauguration, the First Lady. And we'll look at that in more detail. Plus, Christmas. Gosh, actually, Christmas 1 week away.
Away in a manger.
Thanks to the children at Bleasbury Primary School in Nottingham giving us a more conventional version of that. But now get ready for the show A Gay in a Manger, Mary as a Lesbian and Drag Queens as the Wise Men at a University. We'll look at that in the next hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
In government terms, I stress, in government terms, £20 million is not a lot of money. And if the problem is as grave as many are suggesting, and indeed Jess Phillips has quoted his figures to prove that it is, 10 million incidences of some form of violence against women and girls, well, £20 million doesn't seem like a lot. But I need to stress, this is a pilot, it will be trialled in certain parts of the country, and if successful, the sense is it would be rolled out. This is the idea that students, or boys, as young, well, they are still students, as young as 11, could be sent on anti-misogyny courses designed to stamp out violence against women and girls.
Pupils who cause concern will be put on behaviour change programmes. In the previous hour of the show, I spoke with the relevant minister, Minister for Safeguarding and Violence Against Women and Girls, Jess Phillips, and she explained in part what the new strategy is seeking to achieve.
There will be a huge range of policies that are being announced to really tackle the issue of violence against women and girls, which the government has committed to halving within a decade. And so around the schools announcements that will be are part of that broader strategy, we will be both ensuring that good evidence-based healthy relationship education is rolled out by the end of the parliament to every secondary state school in the country, but also this targeted approach. We will be working to create evidence-based specialist resources and interventions for teachers and parents and children themselves to refer themselves to if they are concerned about their behaviours, but also if teachers spot signs of sexually harmful behaviours, such as, for example, the sharing of intimate images. I've met with teachers who told me about violent pornography being watched in the school itself and various other things. And this is what teachers, parents and I have to say the victims of youth young violence in this area have asked for.
You say the government target is to halve the number of offences.
Yes.
What is the level we're at now, Minister?
So one in eight women last year reported that they had been a victim of violence against women and girls. And on the basis of the ONS, the Crime Survey of England and Wales, there was 10 million incidences in the last year using the combined metric of domestic abuse, stalking and sexual assaults, including rape.
Let's bring into the conversation Andrea Simon, who's director of the End Violence Against Women Coalition, who served on the advisory board for this strategy. Thank you for your time. For listeners, how would you define misogyny? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Hi. So, you know, we're talking about attitudes and behaviours that are hostile to women and girls because we are women and girls, and that's leading to a lot of behaviours which are difficult or challenging, harmful to girls at school. Girls all should be going to school, getting an education, be able to focus on that. But they're actually coming into contact with lots of harmful experiences. The rate of sexual harassment, I think it's 9 in 10 girls having witnessed or experienced at least one act of violence or harassment in school. And we have to get to the bottom of dealing with that.
Jess Phillips, who I'm sure you know, or certainly you will know of, talking about children as young as 11, how confident are you that it is present as children in boys? I'm sorry, in boys as young as that.
I mean, I don't think we're talking about necessarily dealing with sexual harassment all of the time, predominantly boys as young as 11. We are talking about is how we make sure that young people as a whole get education around healthy and respectful relationships, how to treat one another, and that we do that as early as possible to prevent harm from happening before we have to deal with the consequences of it. So I think that is quite good. The announcement about behaviour change courses and getting teachers to look out for problematic behaviour, we haven't got enough detail to really understand what that will look like, what teachers will be trying to spot, how well trained they will be, because currently they're not having enough training to deliver relationships and sex education or to deal with kind of the challenges that they're having with young people who are exhibiting harmful views, who are consuming misogynistic content online. So they do need more money and more resourcing to help them to be upskilled in this area. But we just don't know what that looks like. And we don't want it to come across as too punitive, because this type of education is good for all young people. We want everybody to be talked to about tackling gender inequality. It's not good for women and girls. It's not good for men and boys either.
No conversation in this area really is complete without referencing the self-proclaimed misogynist influencer Andrew Tate. How malevolent an influence do you think he is in this sphere?
So our work often finds us commenting on those intersections between online and real world violence. And we do see cases such as the crossbow killer Carl Clifford, who was said to be looking at misogynistic content or an Andrew Tate fan. And prosecutors did say that that was part of what fueled some of his thinking and behaviour. So it is deeply harmful and it can have really, really severe consequences. So we have to see work going on in schools, but also the government being very decisive around tackling the online platforms that host and profit from that kind of violent content. Young men and boys are undeniably being influenced into some ideologies by the way algorithms work that serve up misogynistic content to them. And although we've seen the Online Safety Act, and that was a really important step, it really doesn't address every harm. And there are emerging risks, including now developments in modern tech around chatbots, and we're seeing the rise of popularity in AI girlfriends that boys and men are turning to for connection. And there is a lot of concerns that people may engage in abusive interactions with these sort of compliant bots that reaffirm regressive, misogynistic attitudes to women and girls. And that's something we have teach young people about.
Just to remind everyone, Carl Clifford, of course, was convicted last year of the murder of Carol Hunt, two of her daughters. Of course, he was jilted by his girlfriend, who was the daughter of that racing commentator. Just reminding my listeners, I knew you, Andrea, but just remind the case you referenced. Okay, lastly, we hear that there are going to be behaviour change programmes for these boys, and if they're, who should take them, and what should they comprise?
This is a big question for us because we're just learning about this sort of new suggestion now. It's much.
Who do you think should do it, though, in the work that you do with the End Violence Against Women Coalition, Andrea?
I think all young people in schools should be getting this education. What we don't want is too punitive an approach. We definitely want people to understand some of the new criminal offences that have come online, such as creating or sharing deep fakes, sexually explicit deep fakes, or cyber flashing. We want to stop young people going in being criminalised for things. We need to raise education and awareness amongst all of them. So I don't know how these specific behaviour change campaigns can work, but I do know we're not doing enough to make sure relationships and sex education reach all of the young people they need to. It's not mandatory for 16 to 18 year olds currently. And earlier this year, I handed in a petition to 10 Downing Street alongside a young campaigner, Faustine Patron, and parents of young women who'd been murdered by the young men they were in relationships with. Yes. And there are red flags that young people are experiencing in their relationships, coercive control, love bombing, and escalations of behaviour that they're not actually taking as seriously because they don't understand the harms and the risks that they're in. So that needs to happen as a first step.
I have to leave there for the news headlines. Andrea, thank you for your time. Andrea Simon, you're director of the End Violence Against Women Coalition. Question to you. You're a teacher, and you see a couple of 11 or 12-year-olds crowding over a mobile phone, and you go and look over their shoulder or get hold of the phone, and it's porn. And it's, I don't know how to, but it's pretty ugly porn. I mean, I don't know how to describe porn. How would you then wean those 11, 12, 13-year-old boys off porn? How would you, and if they see violence, if there's some violence there as well, what would be the lessons? How would you structure a class that would teach boys not to do that? What are the facts? And, of course, if you are in the teaching profession, how big a problem is this? And the government ambition to halve from 10 million? How likely are they to get to that? Talking of government ambitions,
the government is committed to ensuring the funding system is fair for taxpayers across the country. And in some areas, council tax levels are radically lower than others.
This is the idea of how they're going to redo taxation and also possibly move money around the country. We'll get more details on that. That was local government minister Alison McGovern, by the way. It is 8:15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Teachers will be trained to identify harmful behaviour in boys as part of a plan to halve violence against women and girls. Police in London have made two arrests over chanting for intifada at a pro-Palestinian demonstration. And the Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, says taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for a mess at a London council. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The Archie's on the M25 clockwise from Junction 6 for Godston to Junction 7 for the M23 because of an accident that's now on the hard shoulder. On the M25 anti-clockwise, the Archie's from Junction 29 for Romford to Junction 28 for the A12, also because of an accident that's now been moved to the hard shoulder. The Archie's in Westminster, Abingdon Street and Millbank are closed in both directions between Parliament Square and Lambeth Bridge. That's because of an investigation. On the trains, Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hertford East because of flooding. On the Tube, there are severe delays on the District Line eastbound from Ealing Broadway to Turnham Green because of problems with the signals. And there's no service on the Bakerloo line all day between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wealdstone. That's because of an investigation at the depot.
LBC.
Hello, I'm a National Lottery scratch card. You normally see me in the shops, but you know where I'd really like to be? Round yours at Christmas. I'm a great Christmas guest. You can use me as a festive place setting for a bit of fun. And you might even win a few quid. At the very least, I'll distract Uncle Dave from saying something inappropriate.
Oh. Buy a National Lottery scratch card and add some play to Christmas. Gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Players and gifters must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
At Fidelity, we've been helping our customers plan for their retirements for nearly 20 years. From understanding how much you'll need to combining multiple pensions, we offer expert insights, excellent service, and even financial advice, so you can feel confidently invested in your future. For pensions, advice, or investment accounts, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Transferring is not right for everyone. Terms apply.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Fanning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling and the whole world smiles with you.
FanningDental.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
19 after 8. Coming up, what Labour are calling, what the government is calling, a £78 billion rebalancing of the books. £78 billion in council tax. And some areas, if you look in London, Wandsworth, for instance, your council tax could go up by 75% to fund that shake-up. There's going to be a fair degree of fury around the country, I would imagine. You'll hear more on that in a moment. But let's get into more details, or your reaction, I should say, to this Violence Against Women and Girls initiative. Dan's in Hackney. Is this going to work, Dan? Good morning.
Good morning. No, it ain't going to work.
Why is that?
It ain't going to work. First off, 20 million, that's nothing.
No, it's not. From running a country, no.
Yeah.
But it is only a pilot, of course, though, Dan. I need to say that.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think this is the kind of sort of patronising thing that leads to the rise of influencers like Andrew Tate in the first place.
Why would this help fuel interest in someone such as Andrew Tate, Dan?
We keep telling our young boys that they have original sin, right? Because they have a sex drive and because they have a natural curiosity in pornography. But this is, I think these boys need positive male role models to act as alternatives from things like Tate. You can't put Tate back in his box.
Tell me what a positive male role model would be. What does that? Is that a father, a teacher, a brother? What are we talking about?
I think it could be any of those, yeah. It could be any of those.
Sadly, too many lads possibly don't have them, Dan.
Exactly. And, I mean, we've got a crisis of male teachers at the moment. There's no men want to go into teaching. It's very rare to have a male teacher. That would act as a positive male role model.
Certainly in primary schools, primary schools, I think it's quite rare to find a bloke, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great. Rather than telling boys you're wrong for doing this, you're wrong for doing that, because...
Well, I mean, just to clarify, I don't think for a moment anybody would suggest that if a boy is looking at a picture of a naked woman, that is wrong. It's when you get into violence, of course, and there is pornography, some pornography that is associated with violence. I think those are the red flags, Dan. Do you not agree?
No, I agree. I think if boys are sharing, let's say, like deep fake pornography in schools, as Jess Phillips said, that should be cracked down on. It sounds like what she's suggesting goes beyond that. There are some sorts of other behaviours that teachers will say, right, that's the misogynistic behaviour. You'll go into the training course. And she didn't really have details on what that was.
No, I do think we need a bit more detail, although she did say again, of course, it is a pilot and we'll have to wait. Lastly, what's your view of someone such as Andrew Tate, Dan?
Oh, no, I think he's terrible. I think he's hijacked. He's told boys, he's one of the few people telling boys, you know, it's good to be a man. It's positive to be a man. And boys want to latch onto that. And then he adds on some crap against about beating women and how it's good to do that, essentially. In a way, he's hijacked our boys' minds.
I think that's probably, well, not all of them, fortunately, but probably too many of them. And that's what the government would argue is what they're trying to put right. Dan, thank you for getting us started. We'll have more reaction on that. But let's come to other matters. And a so-called rebalancing as regards council taxation, but with a £78 billion price tag? Well, a string of councils obviously will get the power to raise their council taxes then without a referendum. They say it's to make the system fairer. Here with details, LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark. Natasha, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, so we understand Kensington and Chelsea, Westminster, Wandsworth, Hammersmith and Fulham, the City of London, Windsor and Maidenhead, they will all be able to raise their rates by more than 5% for 2 years. This is because those areas are expected to be the ones that lose out under a shift to move government cash towards more deprived areas. So council funding formulas getting a major shake-up. Now, we know, Nick, they're really out of date. They're based on value from the 1990s. Labour say this is a win for those deprived councils getting more money, but it is going to see those traditionally lower tax areas seeing their bills go up. Now, we know Band D council tax in some of these areas is said to be up to £1,200 per year less than other areas. However, others say this is a bending of Labour's promises before the election, saying they have no plans to raise taxes. And of course, you grilled the Prime Minister specifically on council tax in a phone-in before the election.
None of our plans require tax rises over and above the ones we've set out.
So you can say now there will not be an increase in council tax?
Look, Nick, what I'm not going to do is sit here 2 and a bit weeks before the election and write the budgets for the next 5 years. What
so
I
you
can
can't rule
say,
it out?
What I can say is that none of our plans require a tax rise, and that is for a reason, and the reason is our focus is on getting our economy going, building, on growing, on raising living standards and creating wealth.
You're declining to take the opportunity to say that council tax will not increase, so I can put it to you that it will increase. You can say I don't know.
Nick, it would be foolish to write 5 years' worth of budgets before going through to 2029.
But you do realise, respectfully, every time you say we're not going to raise VAT, we're not going to raise it, and everybody says, what about council tax? You say, well, I honestly can't. You know what people are thinking. You're a bright bloke. Council tax will go up.
Yeah, well, let me...
Clearly it will.
No, Nick, that isn't our plan. No, Nick, none of our plans require a tax rise.
Will it go up or when to go up, Sakir?
None of our plans require a tax rise. No, Nick, because I need to explain this.
I think you've had your time, respectfully.
Now, Nick, we know how much...
He's quite good, that boy,
isn't he? He is. I don't know what happened to that guy.
I don't know whatever happened to Nick Ferrari.
Look, we know how much local councils, of course, Nick, are struggling. The cost of services, social care, a string we know are on the verge of bankruptcy. Last year, 30 councils effectively applied for loans to pay for day-to-day services. Some say this will make the system much fairer. Here is Alison McGovern, the Minister, explaining that yesterday.
The government is committed to ensuring the funding system is fair for taxpayers across the country, and in some areas, council tax levels are radically lower than others. Council tax bills for £10 million houses in some of the wealthiest parts of the country can be less than an ordinary working family pays in places like Blackpool or Darlington.
And Andrew Dixon is the chair of Fairer Share, that campaigns to abolish council tax and stamp duty. He says change shows that much wider reform is needed.
I think council tax has morphed into the very thing it's trying to replace, i.e. the poll tax from 1991. I think property values have not been updated or reflected properly, and reform is deeply needed. So it's deeply unfair that someone in Hartlepool is paying £3,500 a year in council tax, whereas someone in a huge mansion in Westminster is paying only £2,000. So I think the British public don't mind paying taxes as long as it's fair and it's easily understood.
But Nick, the Conservatives say this will punish those low tax councils, and essentially, does it penalise those councils which are balancing their books well, keeping those taxes low? The Conservatives say this is moving funding to badly run Labour councils that spend irresponsibly. Reforms say the settlement will leave rural areas behind. This new system will be phased in for over 3 years from 2026. The government say more money is going in, an extra £4 billion next year. But it looks like, Nick, despite Labour's promises before the election, it does look like by the back door, council tax is going to be going up.
How much of a round will this bring about, do you think, lastly, Natasha?
To be honest with you, we remember Rishi Sunak before the election, that clip that went viral when he was saying, you know, we don't feel that the funding system is right. We feel that, you know, these formulas and it just doesn't put the money where they need to go. I think many Labour MPs will secretly welcome this. Obviously, the Conservatives and Reform going against it. I think, you know, it's just another thing, right? Council tax bills, water bills, all these bills just going up again and again and again. And Labour can't really say that this isn't due to what they are doing. This is their funding formula. They have to own it.
Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, reporting. And there was me thinking everything was fully costed. Where did I get that idea from? It's 8:27. Let's come back to our conversation about these classes, anti-misogyny classes. Boys as young as 11 sent on these courses will be called behaviour change programmes. I stress, this is a pilot. It has only, I say only, we'd all could do rather well with it, but only £20 million put towards it. And obviously they're deemed to be a success, they will roll them out. The success will be, as you heard from the minister, if you were listening in the previous hour, that they would halve the number of offences, and that is roughly coming in around 10 million per annum, with 1 in 8 women reporting some degree of violence or threat of violence or harassment or whatever it might be. That seems extraordinary. I'm not disputing it for a moment. They'll have done their research. That seems troublingly high. If you have been subjected to that and you feel able to talk about it, what was it? How did you deal with it? And 11, 12, 13-year-old boys, they are going to look at pictures of girls. I was an 11-year-old boy once. I can't remember whether I was looking at pictures of girls. I probably was. That's not going to stop. But when it moves to violence and when it moves to somehow being allowing yourself as a young boy to be influenced by someone such as Andrew Tate, that's when the problems begin. Dexter in Essex, you need to ask when there will be misandry courses. This is classes. This is, of course, the opposite of misogyny. Men, boys, the highest rate of suicide, highest rate of depression, highest rate imprisoned. It's an increasingly feminised world where men are losing their identity and masculinity. As a journalist, you should be balanced. Yes, that is something that's definitely worth discussing and perhaps something we do need to put to a minister. Can I read your name? Yes, Jonathan says, my wife is a teacher. As far as I'm concerned, it's not going to work. The children are unreachable and unteachable for the most part. My wife has been a teacher for 20 years and she's looking to leave for a safer job. She doesn't feel safe in the classroom anymore. Throwing these courses into the mix is just another nail in the coffin of the education system. Well, Jonathan, the only exposure that I've had really to schools recently was that searing documentary, Adolescence, Adolescence, which just won a raft of awards. Do you remember that? And if that school, if the school that your wife works at is anything like the school that was depicted on that drama show, I don't know how she copes. Stephen Hayes wasn't particularly impressed with the minister. Jess Phillips was a strident talker, talking a good game in opposition. But now she's in government, she sounds lacking in confidence or preparedness and is unfocused, comes out with a word salad of continuous drivel without stopping or saying anything specific, like many Labour politicians of her ilk. All right, thank you on that one. This conversation will continue. And remember, we discussed this idea with the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, when he was with us recently. Children taking part in this controversial puberty blocker trial.
No child in this study is able to give consent.
So, should it go ahead? We'll go back into that conversation as well. 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, and LBC. Newstime, Thomas Watts.
Teachers will be trained to identify harmful behaviour as part of a plan to halve violence against women and girls. All secondary schools in England will also have to teach students about healthy relationships. Police in London have made 2 arrests over chants for Intifada at a pro-Palestinian demonstration. They are the first since forces in London and Manchester announced a change in approach over the controversial slogans. The Bank of England is expected to cut interest rates to the lowest level since February 2023. Economists are expecting the base rate, which stands at 4%, to be reduced to 3.75% this lunchtime. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading in from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Whatever you think of the resident doctors going on strike, the ability to be able to strike, I think, really is very important, even if I disagree with people actually doing it. As much as I disagree with the doctors going out on strike now, they should have waited. I think Kenny Badenoch's call is too far. I wouldn't want to see resident doctors, or actually anyone in the NHS, prevented from striking at all.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia, and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
Gift more for less when you shop at the O2 this Christmas. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 of their favorite designer brands, including Nike, Tommy Hilfiger, Le Creuset, The Cosmetics Company Store, and Lindt. Ticked everyone off your list. Start the festivities at one of our 30 bars and restaurants. Enjoy a movie or get competitive with bowling, climbing, interactive football, indoor skydiving, and more. Find us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 to start planning your visit.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 8:33 and staying with our young people, and actually this sort of age range as well, those puberty blockers, that controversial pathways trial where in some instances children, and again we go to 11, children as young as 11 could be given these powerful drugs. Now you'll recall Wes Streeting was in the studio last Friday taking your calls, and the subject of the pathways trial came up, and he admitted it did make him feel, the provision of drugs did make him feel uncomfortable.
I'm not comfortable, candidly, about it.
Why are you allowing it?
Because the two overriding concerns that I have, the only two really, are firstly, how do we keep these children safe and how do we make sure they receive effective and evidence-based care? And secondly, to follow clinical advice rather than, I mean, I've got loads of incoming. I've had my constituency office windows put in three times by trans activists and received all sorts of threats. Since this trial has been announced, I've been called all the names under the sun online and received some pretty nasty stuff. To be honest, the extreme stuff I don't care about anyway. The political noise I kind of put to one side. I'm following clinical advice.
So why is the cause of your discomfort?
Because there's something about the sort of the opposition to this. And medication that delays or indeed stops a natural part of our human development, which is puberty, I am deeply uncomfortable with. Now, the clinical advice is to go ahead with the trial, and those who advocate this medication, and lots of other countries are using medication in these cases, suggest that for trans people, this is a better course of treatment than leaving them without, and with all of the distress and harm that can cause.
But Mr. Streeting, how does a 10 or 11-year-old give his or her consent?
Well, that is a good question. So in order to take part in that part of the trial, they will have had to have undergone thorough mental and physical health examination by doctors. They will then need to be approved by the local clinical trial team. There is then national clinical oversight, and crucially, they will also need the consent of parents. And it's gone through rounds and rounds of ethical approvals to approve this kind of study. So that's the base upon which we are proceeding. We're following that evidence.
And that idea of consent was raised during a select committee hearing yesterday. Here's the exchange between a Conservative MP, Joe Robertson, and Health Secretary Wes Streeting.
How could children under 13 consent to body-altering drugs that will change or even block their sexual development potentially forever? How can they possibly have capacity to understand what that means? Will you consider a lower age limit by which no child can receive those drugs because they cannot consent?
So two things. Firstly, no child
in this study is able to give consent and therefore to be a participant in the trial and receive puberty blockers. In order to participate in a trial, a young person would need to give informed assent, so repeating back to the clinician what the risks are and why they would want to go through them. It is the child's parent or guardian that would need to provide informed consent. Absent of that, a young person would not be eligible to participate in the trial. So I absolutely agree with your assertion that a young person cannot give consent. What they would be required to do is give a form.
Let's turn to Robin White, who's barrister at Old Square Chambers, joining me now. I think we can assume, therefore, that the Health Secretary has concern. I have a note that you are broadly in favour of the Pathways trial. How would you seek to calm West Streeting over this? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Parents give consent on behalf of children to all sorts of medical treatment all the time. Really quite serious stuff. And that's a parent's role. And I think I'm grateful for the introduction because you've gone through the great care that's being applied to permitting children to be part of this study, which has been criticised from sort of both sides of the rather toxic debate that we're having. And Wes appears to me to be doing the right thing, which is taking clinical advice and charting a path through the middle of this.
How are we to measure this? What safeguards need to be put in place? How regularly does it need to be reviewed? Because I'm sure you would accept this is quite drastic action for a child as young as 11 or 12.
Yes, and the child wouldn't be there unless their gender distress was very real, very significant for them, and that they weren't suited to the trial.
You're confident that an 11-year-old would have that ability to know their own emotions?
Well, once again, following what Wes said, it's not the 11-year-old assent. So if the 11-year-old were saying, I don't want this, that would be the end of that.
But do they know?
Let me finish.
Yeah,
but it's the 11-year-old's parents, who presumably are taken to know their child, who give consent.
But it does come back to the fact, how confident can we be that we know what an 11-year-old wants as I appreciate consent is given by their parents because of their age. How confident can we be that that child knows what he, she wants or needs?
Well, we have to be confident of that child's parents, who are the people who we trust to bring up their child, to know their child, to consent to treatments like this, know that the child is in a serious enough position that this is the right thing for the child.
Lastly, what does success as regards the Pathways trial look like?
Well, it's very difficult to craft an ethical trial in respect of children, and my understanding is that there will be two cohorts, one of which will be receiving the treatment straight away, and the other one who will be delayed, and that will permit measurement of the difference of result between the delay group and the immediate group.
Grateful for your input. Robin White is a barrister to be found at Old Square Chambers. Now, some of you... Thank you, Robin. Now, some of you will recall when we talked about this last week, we took a very powerful call, which actually completely coloured my thinking on it, from Martin in Birmingham. We'll just play some of it. He told us about the experience he was having with his child.
I have a 15-year-old trans son who came out at the end of primary school.
Right.
We supported him through this. We opted not to go for puberty blockers, and that was his opinion when we talked about...
And what age was he at this time? Sorry, just say again.
End of primary school, so...
Gosh, 11. Right.
Yes. But going through primary school, always played with the boys, always wanted to do all these things that the boys wanted to do, didn't identify with the girly girls in the playground. So we've now got to a state where his mental health is so poor because he is so unhappy with his body that we are making a decision as a family whether to take him abroad to have his breasts removed next year when he's 16. If we hadn't have made this decision, I do not believe he would still be alive. his mental health.
What has convinced, and I have no doubt you're doing everything in the best interests of your child, I want to get that out there straight away, but what is it that's convinced you that, I want to get this right, that your son is unhappy as a woman, that you would have the breast removed? How can you be certain it's not just, as many people would say, well, this is before they reach puberty, Martin, is what many would say.
He's very much reached puberty. Fortunately or unfortunately, like his mum, he's pretty well endowed up top. And that unbelievably adds to his dysphoria, his unhappiness with his body. He's tried to remove his breasts with scissors before. Unbelievable amount of self-harm against his body.
That's awful. I'm so sorry for you. What sort of support has the NHS provided?
So Harry sees the local mental health services for children. They will not engage with him with regards to trans matters because they believe it is part of the responsibility of the Tavistock. And so we've been on the waiting list for the Tavistock for probably over 3 years now with no communication with them whatsoever other than to say, yes, we are on theirs.
The Tavistock, sorry to talk over you, sir, the Tavistock's no longer running. You're aware of that?
Well, okay, so, sorry, the replacement for Tavistock.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
So, sorry, that's kind of what it's referred to, because everybody seems to know what they're talking about.
Right, okay.
So he has had many, many different interventions, different medications for his mental health, and none of it has been effective or none of it has changed his pathway in that respect, which is why we are now starting to look or significantly more desperate options to see our way through this.
Where would you go? What country would offer this surgery to a 16-year-old?
So we have found someone in Spain who will offer it to a child.
But
we would put this in the same box as some countries would offer children or 16-year-olds, breast implants.
Right.
Or other cosmetic surgery.
Right.
Yes, removing his breasts is a very, very drastic matter, but it doesn't necessarily.
And you're not nervous about cases such as Kira Bell? I can remind you.
Yes, we are absolutely terrified about it, about whether we are making the right decision or the wrong decision. But without making the decision, will we still have a child alive at the end of this?
Well, let's that hang in the air for a moment, because that call was so powerful, and Martin clearly is the dad speaking from his heart there. That's why we decided to play you such an extended chunk. What option does that father have? But then I do respect, and I can see that West Streeting clearly respects the issue of 11-year-old children being given these extraordinary powerful drugs. We'll take your calls on that. We're also taking your calls, of course, on the government initiative that we were talking about. Started a conversation just over an hour or so ago. This is the just £20 million. If someone wants to write me a cheque for that, I'd be very happy. Thank you. But in terms of running a country, it's a £20 million pilot to try and combat violence against women and girls. We're taking call from you, Antonia, on that as well. It's 8:45. LBC News Headlines. Thomas Watts.
The government is due to publish its long-awaited strategy on tackling violence against women and girls. Two people have been arrested in London over chants calling for intifada. And the Conservatives say Westminster City Council must be held accountable over claims it wasted nearly £30 million. LBC weather cloudy with rain spreading from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The queues on the M25 clockwise. Traffic has been held because of an accident between Junction 25 for Enfield and Junction 26 for Waltham Abbey. Also on the M25 clockwise, there are queues from Clackett Lane services to Junction 7 for the M23 after an accident earlier. There are delays in Purley. Foxley Hill Road is blocked in both directions. That's because of some emergency repairs at the A22 Godstone Road. It's very slow in Hither Green on Verdant Lane, both ways at Sandhurst Road. That's because the temporary traffic lights there aren't working. On the trains, Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hartford East because of flooding. On the Tube, there are severe delays on the District Line eastbound from Ealing Broadway to Turnham Green, and there's no service on the Bakerloo Line all day between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wealdstone.
LBC.
The big day is almost here, and you know what that means. Turkey. Well, not just turkey. M&S British free-range turkey crown with a pork, cherry and chestnut stuffing glazed with maple syrup infused with chilli, cinnamon, clove and nutmeg. It also means Cornish cruncher cauliflower cheese with Emmental pecorino and mozzarella. And British baby parsnips with maple syrup glaze with polenta and pecorino. This is not just food. This is M&S Christmas food. Selected stores.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
Your customer service was tip-top, you know, I couldn't fault it.
People are friendly on the telephone, you can always get a problem solved.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
The customer service is really good.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Gift more for less when you shop at the O2 this Christmas. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 of their favorite designer brands, including Nike, Tommy Hilfiger, Le Creuset, the cosmetics company store, and Lindt. Ticked everyone off your list. Start the festivities at one of our 30 bars and restaurants. Enjoy a movie or get competitive with bowling, climbing, interactive football, indoor skydiving, and more. Find us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 to start planning your visit.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the art and design industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Keo, an art and design student in year 12.
As an art student, we get the chance to work on our own pieces, either in the studio or using the digital software. Some of my work has also been shown in galleries, and last week I got the chance to attend a design agency to learn more about my future career.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
At Lidl, you can get a whole Christmas dinner for eight for under £1.50 per person with all the trimmings, including fresh Birchwood British whole turkey, potatoes, Yorkshire stuffing, sprouts, carrots, parsnips, and of course the gravy. Lidl, more to value. Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only. Fresh turkeys on sale 19th of December. See lidl.co.uk/LBTV for details.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:48, Antonia and Pearlie, straight to you to speak about violence against women and girls. What's the point you want to make? You think we need more sessions, is that right? Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I think, obviously, the government has identified this problem, and they want to do something about it, but yep. I think there's a missing ingredient. Sorry, excuse me.
No, go ahead.
I think there's a missing ingredient, and that is parents. I think that what would be good to see is messaging and support, support for the parents, so that they can model good behaviour towards women in the home. My fear is that this is something, you know, you learn this in the classroom, it stays in the classroom. I think modelling in everyday life, respectful behaviour of boys towards girls, girls towards boys, I think that's a task for parents, actually, much more than for teachers.
Why does there seem to be, and I think you're onto something here, actually, why does there seem to be such a dearth of respect in our society today, whether it be put towards teachers, towards parents, towards police officers, towards anybody in a position of influence?
Gosh, that's a big question. Maybe I'd come back to, you know, what's respect like in the family?
Yep.
Are children respecting their parents? Are the parents... I think, actually, Nick, it's partly our parents demanding this of their children.
Yes.
I mean, okay, I've got six children. They're all grown up now, I know.
What's the age range, Antonia?
Well, the youngest is 24 and the oldest is 30-something. Sorry.
Okay. okay, don't worry.
But anyway, yeah. That was our lifestyle choice and we've, you know, we liked children and we wanted a big family, so that was our...
You certainly got there. My good Christmas.
We certainly got there.
Christmas was busy around your house, I would imagine. My word.
It's fun. Lots and lots and lots of fun.
Good.
But, you know, we had a big family. Obviously, we take parenting very seriously. Mm. And we sort of made a point, you know, teaching with four boys, two girls, behave respectfully towards each other, particularly my husband, teaching the boys how to treat me, their mother. You know, because all boys go through lippy, sort of nasty stages.
Yep.
And girls can be pretty obnoxious too.
do you have six? What do you have? Six, three and three? Or how does it all break down?
What, my family?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I've got four boys and two girls.
Four boys and two girls. What's the difference? What sort of age does the lippiness begin with boys, and what sort of age does it begin with? I've never had daughters, by the way. What does it end with, start with girls?
Well, I think by the time they get to, I had one boy who was cheeky from the moment he was born, and that was just him.
but is he still cheeky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course he is. That's his personality. Mm. And he's got a girlfriend who adores him, so that's absolutely fine. But I think sort of by the time boys are getting to sort of 11, I found the two worst years, actually, it's school years for me with boys, was year six, because they're fed up with primary school, and then they're letting off steam in other directions, and year nine, where they had, you know, the starting gun has not gone for their GCSEs yet, and they're just a pain in the neck, and puberty's kicked in. So it's precisely at those sort of ages that, you know, sorry, you don't talk to your mum like that.
Yep.
You know, leave your sister alone.
Yep.
And I think with girls, sort of all the moodiness and that sort of thing, again, similar sort of ages. But, getting back to the point in question, I do feel that parents in so many ways are undermined with government schemes that are taking over the role that should rightfully be for parents, like, you know, teachers teaching children to clean their teeth in the classroom. I mean, that's just one idea that, I don't know whether that's happening or not, but it was certainly mooted. And I just feel parents are being drained of confidence. And I would want to say to parents, listen, you're the parent. Yep. Your child is the child. Be a parent, you know. Don't try to be popular. Be a parent to the child.
And sometimes, lastly, and you speak of having done it six times, unfortunately, as a parent, you are going to be unpopular that day or that evening when you send them off to bed or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. I hate you. I remember my little girl saying to me, I hate you, Mummy. You're not my real mother. You're a nasty, horrid stepmother. I thought, no more Disney for you, sweetheart.
Yeah, right. She was 25. No, I'm only kidding, Antonia. Love to them all. Have a happy and, I'm sure, very busy Christmas. Antonia, thank you. Christine, coming to you on violence against women and girls. We're also talking about these puberty blockers. John in Hackney's not impressed. Have you all gone mad? Would you give a child a pint of lager if that child had a drink problem just to keep them happy? Well, that child will be unlikely to try and remove its breasts or take its life, John. Jamie says that father's story is heartbreaking, but a child in mental distress is not a reason to affirm a delusion. If someone is struggling with anorexia, you don't tell them they're fat. Again, they are fat and allow them to live in the gym. Let's look at the mental turmoil that person is going through. This person asked to remain anonymous, and I will respect it. My son is a psychologist working with teens, severe mental health problems. The whole trans thing is so much in common to other self-harm, severe eating disorders, cutting themselves, suicide. Surgery and hormones is not the problem. It's a mental health issue, and it needs to be treated as such. Let's continue talking about violence against women and girls. Christine's in Crouch End. Christine, you've got an idea, I'm told. What is it? Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Nick. The thing is...
Oh, hello, we haven't spoken in a while. I trust you're well.
Yes, thank you, and you?
Good. Yeah, fine, thank you. Yeah, got the flu check, so I'll be fine.
The thing is, people are affected by what they see, aren't they? So why don't they get rid of the violence and the sex on the media? Because everybody knows that people are affected by that, but they don't do it, even though people have warned for decades about the effects of watching things like that.
I think the sort of material that the government is talking about, you wouldn't be allowed to put on any TV station. It's violent pornography, and there's none of that that I would see on standard television or any of the streaming services, is there?
Well, where is that shown then, that violent porn?
Well, you get it on social media, you get it online. By the way, I don't use it, but obviously, genuinely I don't, but you can get it online, Christine, as you can get virtually everything online, regrettably.
So why don't they get rid of it?
Well, they can't block everything online.
With AI, they can do wonderful things. Of course they could, but they don't have the willpower or the motivation to do it, because everybody knows that advertisers spend millions and billions of pounds and dollars on advertising, which works. So for decades, people have been warning them about this, and nothing changes. So.
All right. Christine, I think you make it sound a little more simple than it might be, but it's a fair argument. Why don't they go more after the social media companies? Thank you for your input on that. Have a good one, Christine. Antonio, if you're still listening, Chris has just texted, I love that caller. My boy is in year six, and it's really helpful to know. Year six is a challenge for many children. Never mind the children, it is parents. Year six, of course, is the last year at primary before they go up to big school, so they're typically going to be 10s and 11s, or 9s and 10s and 11s around that age. And I think I agree with Antonia then. Although, I think also the first year of GCSEs, which is, what do they call that now? Oh, that was 9, I'm so sorry, what was it, exactly, 11, sorry, 12, 13, year 10. Year 10 can be a bit of a challenge as well when they have to do, well, and then 11 and 12 and 13. Antonia, you've got us all talking about that. Let's take a complete change. No, actually, no, I've changed my mind. I've got another call. Let's go, Lex. Lex in Ealing's been hanging on the line. I'm going to get you on the radio. Lex, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What are you going to tell me? You're on TikTok. What are you doing on TikTok?
So educating men on unpacking their misogyny.
Okay. Tell me how you do that.
Yeah, so I talk to them about certain beliefs that they have towards women and girls, getting them to be aware of, you know, statistics and violence and how that's increasing and obviously getting worse. And the majority of the time hearing the ways that they talk about women and girls and highlighting behaviours that, you know, would be described as objectifying, degrading, dehumanising.
What's the age range of your audience, roughly, the people you speak with?
Yeah, so I make sure it's 18 plus. And I do get a mixture, funny enough, I do sometimes get men that are in their 30s and 40s as well.
Right.
And you can often hear some of the ingrained, you know, beliefs that they've been holding on to.
Which what are some of the, without anything offensive language, what are sure. some of those beliefs that you try and combat, Lex?
Yeah, so things like victim-blaming language, things like how they believe that women's value is attached to their sort of, let's say, intimate experiences that they might have with men.
Right. Okay.
So it's kind of combating that and getting them to sort of try and actually humanise the woman rather than actually focusing on the number of people they've been with.
How long have you been doing this?
So it's a year and a half now, because 2 years ago, I suppose, I got challenged on some sort of, you know, misogynistic beliefs that I held on to. And I think when I started going on that journey of educating it myself, it was quite clear to see how ingrained some of these beliefs were without being challenged and understanding it.
What were the views that you held?
Well, I mean, one I held on to was that I thought that, you know, what women wore was an indication of wanting attention from men.
Right.
And obviously that's where the victim-blaming mindset comes into it. And so going on that journey of realising that actually it's the behaviour of the men that needs to be focused on in these situations rather than thinking about what the victim should have done or could have done differently.
How long have you been doing it, Lex?
So I've been doing it for about a year and a half now.
Right.
And, you know, it's something that I, you know, would like to... You mentioned earlier about schools and the funding. That's what I'm looking to try and do, is to go into schools to start hopefully trying to educate, you know, teenagers on identifying some of these behaviours as early as possible. To see how it's embedded in language and the way that they behave and treat women and girls.
And lastly, are you getting busier? Is the work declining? Is this getting more of an issue? How would you equate that?
I would say that I've noticed men are quite resistant to hearing it because they view it as an attack. And it's kind of trying to get them to recognise it's not about attacking you. It's about understanding how you, you know, view the situation and what importance you attach to it. Obviously, we can see statistically things are not getting better. And earlier when you spoke to someone else, I think there was a conversation about misandry.
Misandry,
and
yes.
It's really, really interesting how when anti-misogyny is now being spoken about in schools, the immediate pushback is, what about misandry? And it's like, if you just think about that as a response, you're not really saying you actually care about misogyny, because you're focusing on, you know, what about the men? And it's like, well, sometimes we have to see that conversations don't necessarily have to be balanced when the issue itself is imbalanced.
Lex, good luck with what you're trying to achieve. The music means we must move on, and thank you. Good luck with the work you're doing. Conversation continues. What's in a word? Well, it's intifada, quite a lot. It could get you arrested, and we'll give you more on that. Plus, Pep Guardiola says ta-ta to his tapas bar. He can't meet the bills. He earns £20 million a year. Plus,
hi, Mr. President. Congratulations.
Did you watch it?
I did not. Yeah, I will see it on the news.
The first call from the would-be First Lady to President Trump in a documentary. We'll play you more of that. All that after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, secondary school boys could be referred to anti-misogyny courses if teachers spot
problem behaviour. It's part of a new government strategy, due to be published later, aimed at halving violence against women and girls in a decade. Schools in England will have to give lessons on issues like consent and intimate image abuse. The safeguarding minister, Jess Phillips, has told Nick it needs to be dealt with seriously.
My son's school, for example, if there was any concerns around things like knife crime, them growing up in Birmingham, or if they were sharing extremist views, the government provides schemes for teachers, whether that's the Prevent programme, whether that's things to do with reducing knife crime incidents.
Jess Phillips has told Nick that the connotation is clear when people call for intifada at pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Police have made their first arrest since tightening their policy on the controversial chant in the wake of the Sydney terror attack. Two people were detained at a protest in London last night. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, says councillors must be held accountable over claims they wasted nearly £30 million. Westminster City Council awarded contracts to a building firm despite warnings about its risk of bankruptcy. The company later went bust, leaving taxpayers with a £27 million bill. Ms. Badenoch told LBC that someone needs to take responsibility for the failure.
If people make catastrophic decisions and they don't suffer for it, and by that I mean being held accountable, being penalised in some way, being sanctioned, possibly being sacked, right now what tends to happen is maybe a council is fined for failing in a service or something, or they're sued. But again, the people who pay are always the taxpayer. It is not fair.
The local authority says it followed a robust process, but that lessons have been learned. Donald Trump has touted his achievements on peacemaking and the economy in a festive address from the White House. He also announced a payment of $1,776 for military personnel paid for by tariffs.
More than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call, warrior dividend before Christmas, a warrior dividend.
And interest rates are expected to be cut later after inflation fell to an eight-month low. Most economists think the Bank of England will reduce borrowing costs from 4% to 3.75%. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 97.72. That is down a point. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 13. LBC weather cloudy today with the rain spreading in from the West Country. Some really heavy downpours in places. A high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tom.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at two. We said three. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after nine, Thursday, December the 18th, just 1 week to go. What's in a word? A heck of a lot, if that word is intifada. Intifada, because the police now vow to stamp out the chants. Well, police at least in London and in Greater Manchester. This as the BBC is under fire because they're called intifada popular and unarmed. I'll share some dictionary definitions for you with that. In other news, away in a manger, but change for one university to a gay in a manger, with drag queens playing the wise men. Why is it by the BBC? No BBC show is complete now without a drag queen. Presumably they'll be reading the news at 10 soon enough. 6 o'clock news with RuPaul, whoever it may. And Mary is a lesbian. It's caused offence. We'll look at that in more detail. We will play you some more of that Melania, as in the First Lady video, which has been made available. And been on holiday, really. Another, is it Cerveza? Is that beer? I never go to Spain. And some patatas bravas, whatever it might be. If Pep Guardiola can't keep his tapas bar going in Manchester because of government increases in NI and other matters, and he's got £20 million a year, what hope if you're running a pub, a restaurant, or a cafe?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Police expect to arrest more pro-Palestinian protesters after two of the nation's biggest forces, London's Metropolitan and Greater Manchester, pledged to crack down on those who chant globalise the Intifada. Sir Mark Rowley and Sir Stephen Watson, the heads, respectively, of the Met and GMP Greater Manchester, said activists caught chanting the slogan will face arrest. Indeed, I can tell you that there have been two arrests. Now, sadly, I think it's fair to say that some of this legislation has effectively been written in the blood of those who were slain on Bondi Beach last weekend, because this was a very live issue prior to that. Indeed, less than a week ago, I was discussing with the man at the top, Commissioner of the Met, Sir Mark Rowley, this very issue. Now, Sir Mark was here to take your calls, and one came in from Sophie in Mill Hill. And Sir Mark addressed the difficulties police face when policing protests, and the ambiguity around certain chants and phrases, which makes it difficult for the police to act.
I'm sure, I imagine the caller will be concerned about some of the phrases that have been chanted at some of these protests. Every single one of those, we've put advice requests to the Crown Prosecution Service on a regular basis.
What is the situation if someone chants from the river to the sea, which you will be aware a lot of people see, not just as anti-Semitic, but threatening and harassment? Is an officer instructed to make an arrest or have a word? What does he or she do?
No, they're not, because we've repeatedly gone to CPS, say, can we prosecute in this circumstance? Can we prosecute in that circumstance? And almost without exception, the answer is no. So,
what's the threshold they have to cross?
So it would need to be... So some of the sort of hate crime legislation around sort of being sort of threatening or abusive and sort of with racist or religious hatred overtones, it doesn't get there. And because what lawyers and people will say is, whilst to some people it means obliteration of Israel and Jews, to other people it has different meanings to that. So that ambiguity means that you can't convict beyond a reasonable doubt in the court of law. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the view I would like it to be, but that's what the law is. Those are the laws at the moment, and we have to work within that.
So that was last Friday. Now I take you to Wednesday, a statement yesterday, and in lockstep with the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, Sir Stephen Watson, Sir Mark announced that following the Bondi Beach attack on the weekend, and of course the synagogue in Manchester back in October, the Met and GMP would make arrests at protests for certain chants, including globalise the Intifada. Here's a little of Sir Mark's explanation.
The two recent terror attacks targeting Jews, the increased fear in Jewish communities, and the high numbers of terrorist attacks disrupted in recent years requires an enhanced response. Current laws are inadequate, and we welcome the fact that Home Secretary has asked Lord Ken MacDonald, KC, to review the current public order and hate crime legislation. The words and chants used, especially in protests, matter and have real-world consequences. We have consistently been advised by CPS that many of the phrases causing concern to Jewish communities don't meet prosecution thresholds. However, now, in the escalating threat context, we will recalibrate our operational actions to be more assertive. We know communities are concerned about placards and chants, such as globalise the Intifada, and those using it at future protests, or in a targeted way, should expect the Met or Greater Manchester Police to take immediate action. Violence acts have taken place. The context has changed. Words have meanings. Words have consequences. We will act decisively. We will make arrests.
And one of those words is Intifada. So in the first hour of the show, I spoke with the Director of Investigations and Enforcement at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, Stephen Silberman. He gave me his reaction.
Although there's some relief that finally at least two police forces are seeing some sense, I think there's a fair amount of fury and frustration over this. The context has not changed. We were saying 2 years ago that these chants would ultimately result in violence against Jews. And look what's happened. We knew that this is where we would end up. And we were gaslit, particularly by Sir Mark Rowley, over the meaning of these chants. We live at a time when any minority, be they Muslim, black people, gay people, disabled people, say, this thing that you are doing makes us feel unsafe. It stops immediately. No one gets to say, oh no, but we actually mean this. That did not happen, as so often, with anti-Semitism for the Jewish community. And now, as a result of it, there are dead Jews. It's good that this has happened, but it's too little, too late. What about the chance of death to the IDF? What about the chant of Chai B'Chai B'Yah Yahud, which reminds Jews that of a medieval massacre of Jews by Muslims that is going to come back and revisit them, heard on all these marches? It's not enough. It's something. It's baby steps. We are way past baby steps.
Stephen Silverman. And then I spoke with Ben Jamal, director of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. He told me the change in policy represents an act of political repression.
Well, I would describe it as another low in the political repression of the right to protest in support of the rights of the Palestinian people in this country, which should concern everybody, anybody who cares about the rights of the Palestinian people and the oppression of the Palestinian people, anyone who cares about the implementation of international law, but anybody who cares about core democratic freedoms in this country. Let me express my position on these issues in relation to freedom of expression, free speech. I'm not what I might call a free speech zealot. I think there are limitations on political speech. I don't think people should be allowed to make very clear incitements to violence against civilians. But you've indicated yourself, and you played the clip from Mark Rowley, on the legal advice that the police have had, that there are many interpretations of what the use of the phrase intifada, the word intifada, might mean.
And lastly, I was joined by the Minister for Safeguarding, Jess Phillips. She was talking about that initiative for wired violence against women and girls. But I asked her for her views on the term intifada. Did it have, or does it have, overtones of violence?
I think calling for to globalise the infitada can only really have, I'm not sure what other interpretation there is of infitada other than like an uprising.
It's and intifada, it's, of course.
Intifada. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, that's right.
Is to call for uprising. And look, we've seen what can happen in an environment where the idea of calling people to arms or violence,
yes,
that is a very real thing that is happening but across our country.
But noting you're not the Home Secretary and you're not the, yes, Chief of Police, I note that, but why did it would appear to have taken the murder of 15 innocent people in Australia to have this change of tack? I appreciate you're not the Home Secretary, but it's a fair question to put.
Look, I'm not the Home Secretary, but I feel like actually I feel fairly confident in speaking for her, is that I think that the Metropolitan Police have absolutely done the right thing here, and how police operationalise the laws in our country is down to, you know, individual police forces. However, what I would say is that the Home Secretary is undertaking a review specifically of public order and hate crime to make sure that the police have the exact tools across the country that they need to deal with this issue.
Sorry.
And has invested heavily £10 million extra this year to a total of £28 million in ensuring that safety and security of our Jewish community and their schools and places of worship and elsewhere is absolutely a primary priority of the government.
So you will share the dismay of many that the BBC described the Intifada on its website as largely unarmed and popular.
I mean, I haven't seen that, but look, to me, when you say when people start shouting things like "globalise the Intifada," the connotation is. Mm. Is clear?
Yeah, Jess Phillips speaking earlier. You could guess, couldn't you? Which broadcast organisation will put on its website, with all this controversy, that the Intifada was largely unarmed and popular? That would be the BBC. But for your ability to chant it on the streets now, you could risk being nicked. We'll take your calls on that. David Malcolm, you're at the top of the line. Also, the reality bites in running a restaurant. If Pep Guardiola, a Premier League manager at Manchester City, if it's important to you, annual income £20 million. If he can't keep his tapas bar going in Manchester, what help for you if you're running a restaurant, a bar or a club? We'll take your calls on that. It's 9:15, LBC News Headlines. Thomas Watts.
Schoolboys could be referred to anti-misogyny courses if teachers spot problem behaviour. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, says councillors in London must be held accountable over claims they wasted nearly £30 million. And interest rates are expected to be cut later after inflation fell to an 8-month low. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading in from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the M25 clockwise. One lane is closed after junction 25 for Enfield because of an accident. On the M25 clockwise, there are also queues from Clackett Lane services to junction 7 for the M23 after an accident earlier. In Purley, there are queues on Foxley Hill Road. It's partly blocked in both directions at the A22 Godstone Road because of emergency repairs. There are delays in Hither Green on Verdant's Lane in both directions because the temporary traffic lights aren't working at Sandhurst Road. On the trains, Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hertford East. That's because of flooding. On the Tube, there's no service on the Bakerloo line between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wealdstone because of an investigation at the depot. And there are minor delays on the entire district line after problems with the signals earlier.
This is LBC.
The big day is almost here, and you know what that means. Turkey. Well, not just turkey. M&S British free-range turkey crown with a pork, cherry and chestnut stuffing glazed with maple syrup infused with chilli, cinnamon, clove and nutmeg. It also means Cornish cruncher cauliflower cheese with Emmental pecorino and mozzarella. And British baby parsnips with maple syrup glaze with polenta and pecorino. This is not just food. This is M&S Christmas food. Selected stores.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
At Lidl, get our deluxe Winter Wonderland Chocolate Village cheesecake with gooey caramel chocolate ganache and a crumbly base. Only £6.99 with Lidl Plus. And it's Good Housekeeping Institute taste approved. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only, subject to availability. Selected stores, terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lbtv. Ends 24th of the 12th.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Well, let's talk about what's in the word of intifada. David in Leicester. Thank you for hanging on the line. David, your reaction to this story. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. My thoughts are a bit like words mean what the people speaking them mean, not what the people think they could mean. There's no evidence that the phrase "globalize the intifada" is actually linked to any of these anti-Semitic acts of violence. There's just people saying there's just people saying that this is what it means. There's no actual evidence.
Well, let me. I'll come back to you, but let me just read you the definition from the Cambridge Dictionary. Intifada: a violent act of opposition by the Palestinian people to the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip.
So that's the definition of specific wars and acts of violence. The actual phrase itself...
No, the word intifada.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
But that is in relation to specific events. But the actual phrase itself, by anyone who actually says the phrase... globalize the intifada. None of them are calling for violence. There's no evidence violence.
How on earth can you say that? You don't know what's in the minds of everyone who's chanting globalize the intifada, do you?
Well, because they don't commit violence. 99% of the people chanting it are completely peaceful.
Well, just because you don't necessarily commit the act yourself. I mean, when those ghastly musicians were chanting death, death to the IDF, I doubt that they were willing to shoot the bullet themselves, but that's what they were calling for, David.
No, but that's just a rhyming slang for saying, you know, stop the IDF, really. But that's the difference.
No, it's saying that they need to be killed. It's not a rhyming slang. It's suggesting that their lives are taken.
Can I put an example for you?
Please.
If I fully, wholeheartedly believed that any time anyone told me to shut up, it meant that they actually wanted to shoot me in the head, you would rightly call me an idiot and ask why I believed that. So my question would be, why? Where is the belief that globalise the intifada means...
Well, we're not... Please don't go. I'm not getting through to you. Let's try my next caller, who, incidentally, or coincidentally, is joining us from Israel. Malcolm, would you talk to David? What do you hear when you... what do you think when you hear the words globalise the intifada? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and good morning, David. Well, here, especially as a British Jew now living here, also in the news business, intifada means exactly that. And it doesn't just mean the Jews. It means anyone that is not of Muslim persuasion. So it might be us Jews first, but then it moves on. But intifada certainly means death to whoever, and generally it means death to non-Muslims.
David?
There's absolutely no evidence for that. I'm sorry, but I know that might be what you feel, but...
I'm going to interrupt. You don't need me to read you the definition again from the Cambridge English Dictionary, which is also in the Merriam-Webster US English Dictionary. So there are two dictionaries, and I never even look that hard. They've both got violence in them. David?
In the real world, there's absolutely no evidence for it being linked to violence.
Let Malcolm interrupt. Malcolm?
Okay, well, David, I'll just let you into something that I found out recently. In August, I came back to London, and a good friend of mine, who's a rabbi, and was knighted by the Queen for his charities, he's now an MBE, has now had to close his synagogue in my old area. He's been told that that all the charities he was involved with has banned him, and they've been told, and this is by the Muslim councillors direct to him, that he is not welcome anymore. Answer me that, David.
What's that got to do with the phrase globalise the intifada?
Quite easily, because they're hearing it, and quite often, when people are chanting this, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know what river to the sea is.
That's my point. You're just going by what you feel it means. You're not going by what people speaking it actually want.
David, when you know what the events that took place on Bondi Beach on the weekend, and you saw that there were homemade ISIS flags in the motor vehicles, does that not speak to you of globalise the intifada?
No, because that speaks to me of ISIS terrorism, who, just a nasty terrorist group on their own.
And the deaths at the Manchester Synagogue and the beach at Bondi in Sydney, again, you don't see anything...
There's no evidence that the phrase globalise the intifada
is linked
to that.
And respectfully, I have read you dictionary definitions. I don't think you can keep saying there's no proof of it, because I've just read you from the dictionary, David.
I'm sorry, but in the terms of what people are saying, in the context that they're saying it,
Lastly, then, you think everybody who chants globalise the intifada has nothing but peace and love in their heart?
I'm sure not everybody, just because there's evil people in every segment of population.
Right, okay. I thought initially you said that. David, thank you. Malcolm, thank you. More calls coming in on that. But let's go to other matters. And this is a story that I have sort of run through the course of the morning, because it was on the front page of one of the newspapers, is on The Sun. And when someone as rich as Pep Guardiola falls, as The Sun calls it, victim of Labour Chancellor Rachel Reeves' brutal budget tax attack, their words not mine, you have to take notice. Perhaps closing down a restaurant that's been open for 7 years, very popular in Manchester, peopled by, he took an award-winning, I think he'd won a Michelin star 5 years, so he took a top chef there, and unsurprisingly, a lot of his players went there, as did a lot of Manchester United players, as did many of the managers, and he would often go there. So it's a place to go. But despite earning £20 million, he and his partners have said, we can't keep it going. It's just no longer sustainable. So is that the reality for business? Business rates, for instance, I note, are going up an extra £1,400 next year, and up to, in this instance, £13,000 over the next 3 years. You've got to sell a lot of chorizo, or however you pronounce it, to pay that. But what of other businesses? Dave's in York. What business do you run, Dave? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. It's a fish and chip shop, an established fish and chip shop.
How long have you been running?
I've been in 40 years. The business has been running 60 years.
How's trade?
Trade's pretty good, but I'm just paying everything out. I just cannot keep it going. Unfortunately, I've got to make 3 staff redundant today.
How many staff do you have?
3.
Oh.
I'm actually closing the business.
Oh, you're closing the business today?
Yeah, well, tomorrow. I'm going to tell the staff today. It's just not making any money.
Right. And sorry, you've had it 40 years, did you say?
Yes, yes.
When did it get tough?
Over the last 2 or 3 years. But particularly over the last 18 months.
Is it do you think, I mean, you're talking obviously because of what I'm reading here in the Sun newspaper, and they talk about national minimum wage going up, national insurance going up, business rates going up. Is that the sort of toxic mix that you're facing as well with your shop, Dave?
Well, fuel costs have gone up extremely. The wages have gone up. I've always stuck to the wage structure, but I've taken less and less, whereas now I'm actually making nothing. I'm actually making a loss.
You're losing.
Which is very sad on the staff, to be fair.
Okay, okay. That's awful. After 40 years, you have to walk away from the business. Had it been getting worse as well under the Conservatives? Did it suddenly fall off a cliff when the new government came in? How would you describe it, Dave?
I'd say, really, it suffered when the fuel went up. That was the main one. My gas bill went up from, like, £200 a month to over £1,000 a month in 3 years ago, when the war started.
Right, good God, OK.
But the thing is, I mean, I'm charging £9.50 for fish and chips. To make a profit, I'd have to go up to about £14. And in West Yorkshire, they just won't pay it, and North Yorkshire.
No, I bet they won't. And that will get you, what, is that, what, large cod and chips or something, £9.50?
Yes.
You're going to miss it?
Very much so. It's part of the community.
Have you told the customers?
I haven't told anybody. I'm telling the staff today. They're the first to know.
God, how do you tell... How long have some of them been with you?
10, 12 years.
That's going to be a horrific conversation.
It's going to be awful, because we also pay the pensions as well. Everything. I've done everything by the book. But I just cannot take the hit anymore.
No, of course you can't. You can't run a business if you're losing money. So what are you... I don't know how... Are you going to retire? Are you going to look to do something else?
I'm in my mid-60s, so I'm going to look to retire.
You're going to look to retire. And go what? Go and live by the seaside? What's the plan? Go on the golf course? What are you going to do, mate?
Well, I ain't got that much money, no. Just go local walking and around the local parks.
Is that right? Were there good years? Did it used to make a dollar?
There was some very good years, 20 years ago. It used to make a very good standard of living.
Did it, really?
But it's just gone down and down and down.
And lastly, I don't know York at all. I've been there, but I don't know it very well. If I was to take you to parts of London, Dave, fish and chip shops have closed because it's all fried chicken or those, what do you call it, kebabs, Turkish restaurants. Is that the same where you are, or is it still lots of chip
no,
shops?
No, the fish and chip shops, they're very popular. But it can be popular, but if you're not making a profit, no, you can't do it.
No, and they're not going to spend £14 on place and chips. Dave, thank you. Thank you, Dave. A horrible day lying ahead of you. And I hope it goes as well as you can with your staff, some of whom have been with you for 12 years. That is horrific, isn't it? And that is the reality. That's, I mean, from a Premier League manager to a man running a chip shop, literally, in New York. But the message does not get through this government. Indeed, when I was speaking to a government, they talked about how growth is growing. No, it's not. 2 months ago, 0.1. Last month, minus 0.1. That's not growth in anyone's book, is it? Let's get one more call in on Interfada before we go to news. Joe's in Enfield. Joe, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. Yes. I'm so sorry to hear about that gentleman's chip
shop.
That's really thrown me. That's really, really sad. It's part and heart of the country. Yep. Interestingly, as you might know, Jewish people contributed towards making fish and chips. It was the immigrants in London
who
brought fried fish over. Yeah, from the Sephardi Jewish community who were fleeing persecution. Yeah, and it combined as a bit of a question about whether it got combined in London or Yorkshire. And I don't want to start that argument off about where it started in London.
No, we've got enough going on now.
But we do know it makes one of the most iconic British things ever, which is really, really one of the things that I wanted to talk about. I think there's one of the things in the UK that we're really good at in England is about fair play, straight bat.
Yeah.
You know, what's cricket?
Down in Australia at the moment, but anyway, do go on.
Yeah. When I hear someone like Ben Jamal or that gentleman David talk the two-faced nature of what they say, we know what an intifada is, right? We could, you know, what happens in practice, they're dancing on the head of a pin for plausible deniability about how theoretically maybe it has this meaning. Jihad could be a struggle. Or, you know, in practice, the first intifada, the so-called one, killed over 1,200 Israelis in bombing stampings, the usual thing. The second one killed, I think, thousands and thousands and thousands, right? This is being shouted by people with slogans, with, you know, swastikas with Mark and David's Stars of David, you know, the usual thing, puppet drenched blood, people's faces contorted, right? People screaming outside Jewish nurseries, Jewish synagogues, Jewish schools, right, out there intimidating people. It's moved up to smearing feces on synagogues and schools, I think that's been a famous case. There are plots foiled every single week. Ammunition, guns, bomb plots against Jewish communities worldwide. That is what the Intifada is in practice. And for Mr. Jamal, who presided over an organization...
Okay, I'm grateful. I'm going to end it there, Joe. Thank you. You put your case very quickly. He's not here to defend himself, and just as I wouldn't allow someone to take you on necessarily directly head-to-head without your opinion, but I will thank you for your call, and you put your case very passionately, and thank you for your input on that. We will take more calls on that. We are going to share with you as well the First Lady's first 20 days build-up to becoming president as she releases the first look at that prior to cinematic release in January, and also after the news. Should we get in the Christmas mood? Thank you to the children at Bleasbury Primary School in Nottingham. There's a new version on the way at one university, a gay in a manger, with the three wise men being drag queens and Mary being a lesbian. It's caused outrage. We'll give you more details. We're at 9:32. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. The news read by Thomas Watts.
Teachers in England will be given training to spot the early signs of misogyny in schoolboys. It's part of the government's strategy to halve violence against women and girls in a decade. Hundreds of mourners have gathered in Sydney for the funeral of the youngest victim of the Bondi Beach terror attack. 10-year-old Matilda was among 15 Jewish people killed in Sunday's shooting. Interest rates are expected to be cut to their lowest level in almost 3 years this lunchtime. Most economists think the Bank of England will reduce the base rate to 3.75%. LBC weather, cloudy today with rain spreading in from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
This is LBC.
Sandy!
Wes! You're looking chirpy.
I'm off on a tour of London with my mates. Got a great deal of SWR rewards.
Brilliant! I'm using my reward to swoop down to Hampton Court Palace.
You are such a culture vulture.
Make every trip a treat with SWR Rewards. Book a train from Chilworth today to claim yours. Southwestern Railway. Spread your wings. T's and C's apply.
The big day is almost here, and you know what that means. Turkey. Well, not just turkey. M&S British free-range turkey crown with a pork, cherry and chestnut stuffing glazed with maple syrup infused with chilli, cinnamon, clove and nutmeg. It also means Cornish cruncher cauliflower cheese with Emmental pecorino and mozzarella. And British baby parsnips with maple syrup glaze with polenta and pecorino. This is not just food. This is M&S Christmas food. Selected stores.
Same.
Ho, ho, ho!
Same.
3, 2, 1, hey!
Same.
Whoa, thanks.
Same.
What does Santa call his dog?
Same. Same.
One word. Three syllables.
Same. Same.
Sorry, it's a bit dry.
New plates.
Ooh. Ooh.
Treat your table to something different this Christmas. Visit your local IKEA now. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
From a tapas restaurant in Manchester to a fish and chip shop in York, businesses are closing. And isn't that the reality of the past budget and the current budget? Whatever the government try and tell us, it's damn tough to run a business out there, particularly if you are in the hospitality or chip shop in the restaurant sector, as it were. Craig's in Tunbridge Wells. What are we talking about for you, Craig? Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hello.
First time caller, long time listener.
Good to have you on.
Well,
thank you.
Basically, I had to tell my staff yesterday that if we can't turn the business around in January, February, our lease is up in July, I believe, and we'll be closing. After 18 years.
And what sort of business are you in?
We've got a tool and plant hire company.
Okay.
And a lot of our customers, the builders, a lot of them have closed up. They're not working, they're signing on.
Right.
It's a disaster.
How long have you been there,
did you say?
It's
been noticeably worse since Labour got into power.
How long did you say you've been running it? Sorry, Craig.
18 years.
18 years, okay. So if I need, I don't know, some diggers or something like that, I come to you, do I? And that sort of
kit.
You
could do,
chainsaws and all sort of that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What has happened over the last 18 months specifically then that's changed it?
lack of confidence. People just aren't. I don't know, the amount of building work, they say, oh, you know, business is on the up and that sort of thing. Absolute rubbish. The building industry is on its knees.
And yet, if I had the housing secretary here, they'd say that, come on, we're going to hit 1.5 million houses over the next 5 years. People are building houses again. That's what they would tell me. What would you say is the reality?
Well, he's lying.
How many, you know, how many staff? Simple.
So I've only got 3 staff.
And what are you going to do?
Well, I've got other investments. I've got investment properties and other investments, so I'm okay. But it's not, that's not the point, you know. I'm trying to keep these guys. You know, these guys are like family to me.
Yeah, that's going to be. But well, I can imagine. But I will ask. How did the news go down yesterday?
Well, like a cup of cold sick.
Yes,
really.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
And what would need to happen then?
I don't know, Keir Starmer to resign.
All right. And again, do we look at the business taxes, the national insurance, the minimum wage?
Well, taxes are up, volume of business is down, there's lack of cash flow, people don't have cash in their pockets, they can't afford to eat, they can't afford to, you know, they're scraping by paying their mortgages, rents, whatever. You know, it's a real disaster. It's an absolute disaster.
All right. I wish you well. A very tough Christmas for you. Even tougher, of course, for your colleagues, because there are other businesses that you can go to. I hope there's a turnaround, Craig, but I'm afraid all the business indications at the moment are not that good. Craig, good luck to you. Thank you for that. Now, I've mentioned on a number of occasions this university, which is the York St. John Universities and the York St. John University. And the LGBTQ network putting together a play or show called A Gay in a Manger. It's the second year politics and international relations student has put it together. And as we've said, there will be a lesbian Mary and Joe and a homosexual baby Jesus, as well as the wise men being played by drag queens. Tom Gattos is co-founder of the Rainbow Lottery and a campaigner in the field of LGBTQ+. And to those who would say that this is a story that should not be interfered with in this fashion, how would you respond? Good morning.
Oh, hi, Nick. Yep, good morning.
Hello.
No one's rewriting scripture. They're simply saying the message of love and acceptance is wide enough for everyone. It's art doing what art does best. Young people, young LGBT people, rarely see themselves in traditional stories. And this production says, you belong here too.
Right.
And that, to me, is a beautiful Christmas message.
Right, okay. But to many, of course, this is the greatest story ever told, and there has to be a degree of it being sacrosanct, Mr. Gattos.
Well, queer people have always brought joy and imagination to storytelling. And if this play gets people laughing, thinking, and feeling seen, that's Christmas working exactly as it should.
Yes. Not all the students at the university are delighted about this. One of whom has asked whether they could do a show in the campus called A Gay in Mecca. That's not gone down particularly well. Why might that be?
I don't know, really. I mean, everybody has their own ideas. I just feel that, A Gay in a Manger might ruffle a feather or two, but Christmas has always been about joy and imagination, and this feels like adding a bit of glitter to an old story. And why not?
Yes. I come back to the point I made by this particular student, though, who's written to the student, written to the university, I'm sorry, saying whether they could perform A Gay in Mecca, and there's not been a positive response. Why do you suppose that might be?
Well, I think it's a hot issue at the moment. I think generally Muslims, in fact, are pretty much anti-LGBTQ plus historically. So I don't think they would get a very big audience, for one thing. So... but, you know, we're working on it. We've got causes that are out there trying to open people's minds and get acceptance, you know, going a little bit more worldwide as well.
Tom Gattos is co-founder of the Rainbow Lottery and a campaigner in LGBTQ plus matters. Thank you for that. The plot sees Mary and Joe packing their pride flags to attend Queen Herod's party at the best gay club this side of the Red Sea, Heaven. The advert says, but when Queen Herod heard of the new king of the gays, she began to plot for his downfall, for only she could be the queerest icon in the land. It's not something that I'll be rushing to see. It's not going to cost you a lot of money. Tickets cost £1.50 online or £2.50 on the door, so it won't make too much of a dent. Is that the sort of show that you would want to go to? And what of the student, a 21-year-old, Josiah Diamond, writing to the university asking whether a show could be performed called A Gay in Mecca? Mike's in Berkhamsted. Mike, your reaction to this. Good morning.
Hello, Mike. Hello there. It's, hello. Yeah, it's not on, really, is it?
Well, I mean, I love the fact that we can have gentle fun about the story of Christianity and you can have the life of Brian and we don't have riots in the streets, but I think a line has to be drawn somewhere and I'm just wondering if we've arrived at it.
Absolutely. I mean, what your previous guest was talking about, you know, the real message of Christmas, the real message of Christmas really is the birth of Jesus.
Yes.
As a practicing Catholic myself, it does hit a nerve or two or maybe a thousand. I can't imagine this being done to any other kind of religion, especially, you know, Muslims or Jews. And I feel like it isn't Christianity in of itself is an easy target because this is a so-called Christian country. But those who actually practice the faith as myself will notice that religion is obviously, it's been massive decline. So for these, you know, parodies, they are just parodies and sacrilegious to be made in, you know, in light of Christmas. They've got the fundamentals of Christmas wrong, and of course that's going to skew the rest of their kind of desire and feeling towards Christmas.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because I mentioned Life of Brian, which I found funny. Rich has just texted, remember when Monty Python outraged the church, now we just roll our eyes. Was Life of Brian funny, or was that mildly offensive to you as well, Mike?
I would personally say it was sensitive. Of course, there is some light in it. But generally, I would say I wouldn't watch it myself, and I wouldn't. But that's not to say that there aren't degrees of, you know, sacrilegiousness or, you know, insensitiveness is probably a better word to use. This, of course, goes way beyond anyone's, you know, it's not funny to anyone.
No.
Nobody's going to sit there and chuckle with popcorn throwing at the screen. It's not that type of funny. It is meant to obviously rouse up Christians, which it is doing, because I'm ringing today.
Yeah, and lastly, should we actually... If you recall what happened in Paris when a satirical magazine did a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad, and we know what happened next, should we actually be celebrating the fact that the faith that you enjoy and practice, I am a Christian, but I don't practice to your level, I don't think, actually does seem to have some kind of sense of humour about itself, in that these things happen without people taking to the streets?
Yeah, to a certain extent. Listen, I'm all for free speech when it is enjoyed by the masses. On this occasion, I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like it really is a tyranny of the minority in this case. The minority are enjoying this, you know, this insensitivity, and, you know, your average person has to enjoy it or even, you know, be quite content with it. Otherwise, you're seen as an enemy. And that's where I draw the line, really.
Mike, have a safe day. Thank you. Alan in Wandsworth. Have we come to the line? Is this where it needs to be drawn? Good morning, Alan.
Hi there, good morning. No, I think it's just light-hearted fun, and I don't see any problem with it whatsoever. It's just people having a little bit of fun in dark times, and it's going to ruffle some feathers, but it's going to also bring smiles to the faces of many other people.
Okay, the point that is made by one of the students who attends the university, a gay in Mecca, I don't think we're going to see that, do you?
Probably not yet anyway, but I mean, I just think it's those who are going to have a problem with this nativity going on are those who have faith and those who are religious. And I honestly do believe, like, I mean, it's a story that's been written however many years ago, and if you can believe that the Virgin Mary can fall pregnant without doing the deed, then come on.
Alan Wandsworth, thank you. Martin in Rotherhithe. Martin, your view of this play or show?
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Good, thank you. Is this, have we found the line? Is this where we draw it?
The problem I have with it is, never in a billion years would they have done this about the Prophet Muhammad or Islam. Never, ever, because they know full well what would happen. They'd have had hundreds of Muslim men sort of chanting Allahu Akbar, looking to kill them.
But is it something we celebrate, the fact that Christianity can, in a sense, almost be seen to laugh at itself?
You could say that, but I'm not particularly religious, but it does always seem to be that Christianity bears the brunt of it. It seems to be the one religion that you can laugh at. And if you're a Christian, that must be incredibly offensive.
Well, I think we just heard, didn't we, from Mike, who said he thinks he has found the line. Martin, I sense you might agree. Thank you for that. We will continue this conversation. We're talking about the use of the word intifada, and we are going to play you something from this Amazon documentary.
Everyone wants to know. So here it is.
Melania Trump as you've never seen her before. 9:45, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Schoolboys could be referred to anti-misogyny courses if teachers spot problem behaviour. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, says councillors in London must be held accountable over claims they wasted nearly £30 million. And interest rates are expected to be cut later after inflation fell to an eight-month low. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading in from the West Country, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the M25. Clockwise, one lane is closed after junction 25 for Enfield because of an accident. In Dagenham, they're accusing the A13 going into town. There's a lane blocked at Renwick Road because a van has broken down. In Purley, they're accused on Foxley Hill Road. It's partly blocked in both directions at the A22 Godstone Road because of some emergency repairs. There are delays in Hither Green on Verdant Lane in both directions because the temporary traffic lights aren't working at Sandhurst Road. On the trains, Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hartford East because of flooding. On the tube, there's no Bakerloo line between Queen's Park and Harrow and Wealdstone. That's because of an investigation at the depot. And there are now minor delays on the district line after problems with the signals earlier.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
As the government announces plans to combat misogyny, isn't it time we asked men to do more about boys? And why won't Nigel Farage apologise?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
The big day is almost here, and you know what that means. Turkey. Well, not just turkey. M&S British free-range turkey crown with a pork, cherry and chestnut stuffing glazed with maple syrup infused with chilli, cinnamon, clove and nutmeg. It also means Cornish cruncher cauliflower cheese with Emmental pecorino and mozzarella. And British baby parsnips with maple syrup glaze with polenta and pecorino. This is not just food. This is M&S Christmas food. Selected stores.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
At Fidelity, we've been helping our customers plan for their retirements for nearly 20 years. From understanding how much you'll need to combining multiple pensions, we offer expert insights, excellent service, and even financial advice, so you can feel confidently invested in your future. For pensions, advice, or investment accounts, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Transferring is not right for everyone. Terms apply.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
BanningDental.co.uk.
Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973. Okay, time to take a first look at the First Lady.
Here we go again.
You can come in, don't worry. My parents' legacy will be that of peacemaker.
Peacemaker and in the fire.
Beautiful. Together with like-minded leaders, we have a voice. Is it safe?
It is safe.
Everyone wants to know. So here it is.
Hi, Mr. President. Congratulations.
Did you watch it?
I did not. Yeah, I will see it on the news.
Well, why would you want your husband being made the President of the United States? Melania, it costs $40 million for cinematic release in the new year. And it's 104 minutes long. Unprecedented behind-the-scenes look at the First Lady's life. The mother of one rarely sits for interviews, but you will see her turning to the camera, saying, as you heard, here we go again, dressed in that wide-brimmed hat. You'll even see her dancing, waving her arms and dancing ahead of the inauguration ball, and that telephone call made between husband and wife. Did you watch it? No, I'll see it on the news. Thanks very much indeed. Coming to a cinema near you in the new year. All right, let's talk a little bit more about what's in a word. Quite a lot, if that word happens to be intifada. Georgina's in Manchester. Georgina?
Hi. You're on the radio.
Hello, your view.
Hi. I think that it's ridiculous. I mean, what more proof do you need? Globalising intifada. You know, I'm from Manchester and, you know, I was affected by what happened with the attack and then obviously in Australia. And basically, to me, intifada, globalising intifada is basically kill, you know, uprising, war, you know, we know what it's all about. And it's just too late. It's just too late, in my opinion. You know, it's like taking a bag of feathers to the top of the mountain and throwing them out and then trying to pick them up because we don't feel safe here. You know, on Hanukkah, obviously with everything that happened, my children wanted to go to synagogue. There were four layers of security for us. You know, there were the police, there were the local volunteers, there was the CST. You know, this is how we are living. And, you know, we make so much... I'm sorry, I'm just going on and on. But
no, you're not.
We make so much news. Do you know how many Jews there are in the world, considering the level of news that are covered about us?
6 million. It's 280,000 in the UK. Is it 6 million globally?
No, there's 15 million globally.
15 million. I'm so sorry.
And there's 30,000 in Manchester, and we feel unsafe. And now we're feeling like, where can we be? Because we're not safe in Australia. We're not safe here. We're not safe. You know, it's a conversation that we're all having around our tables all the time.
Do you feel, in the light of what you heard from your chief constable, Sir Stephen Watson, yesterday, how confident are you that there could be a change of heart now? And will you, when you're sitting around your tables tomorrow?
None. What? So now he's stopped people from saying that they're going to be arrested. Well, sorry. I mean, you know, it's already out there. It's too late. It's out there. People,
did you know any body who was caught up in that attack at the synagogue?
Yes, my kids know the kid whose father took a bullet, who survived.
Right.
We know someone that was there who had to leave, you know, and be taken out. It's awful. It's affected everyone, and you know, it's really affected the mental health of a lot of my
friends.
You know,
if you had the opportunity to speak with the chief constable, what would you say to him about making Jewish people feel safe again in his city?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's too late. I feel like
you can say it's too late, but
how?
You can't give up. Well, I'd rather you didn't give up. I'd rather you
people are leaving. People are going to be leaving. I'm not kidding you. I'm on the radio about to cry. People are terrified. I'm terrified for my children. And maybe in my lifetime we'll be okay. But my kids' lifetime, I don't think so. You know, it feels like hunting season. That's how it feels. It does. Sorry. It's terrifying.
Of course.
And when you say
people, I assume they're going to Israel, are they?
No, America.
Oh, right.
Israel. Anywhere that people will feel safe. But at the moment, I don't know if people do feel safe. I mean, people probably feel safer going somewhere where they're protected, for sure. It's a really scary time for us. And, you know, the thing is that I think the thing for Manchester that happened that really affected me was that it starts with words. So, you know, you can have people go around shouting, globalise the intifada, and then you get one lunatic that decides to turn his words into weapons.
Well, respectfully, it starts with words, then you have slogans daubed on synagogues, then you have pigs' heads put on Jewish graves, and then you start to move what you witnessed at the synagogue in Manchester.
Yeah.
That's yeah, what happens.
Absolutely. I mean, my husband's family escaped the Holocaust, and you know, I'm not prepared to sit and wait for it to happen again. It's really frightening. Right. To be honest.
I can hear it. Look after yourself, Georgina. Best wishes to your family. I can hear how absolutely live it is for you because of the horrors that took place just at Hanukkah, just a couple of months ago, back in October, wasn't it? Not Hanukkah, back in October. Georgina, thank you. Sam's in Redbridge. Sam, you're on the radio. Hello.
Hello, Nick. I'm a first-time caller
thank
here.
You for reaching for the phone. What are you going to tell me about the use of the word intifada?
So, I want to say for people who are saying it, shouting it, putting banners with it, my question to you is, have you actually lived through one? Because if you have, you will certainly know that it's violent. That was my experience. I was in Israel from 1999 to 2002, and it was very peaceful to start with, and then the second intifada started. And it's literally like having 7/7 and the Manchester Arena attack and the Southport attack happening sometimes multiple times a week.
Yes.
And you feel like you're playing Russian roulette with your life. That's the best way to describe it. Everything you do feels like it has life or death consequences. And civilians are the target. And the second intifada wasn't just Israeli civilians that suffered, because the IDF you know, did counter things as well. So Palestinian people suffered badly as well. So nobody... Like, who actually wants that in London? And I think anybody sane would say no. So
as someone who lived there, when you heard, when you read that the BBC Online described it as, let me get this right, just get the words absolutely right, largely unarmed and popular is how the BBC described it. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, WTF, basically. I read it last night, and I was just like, when are the BBC going to get this right?
Never.
I live in hope, because because the sad thing is, people trust the BBC, and you know, they trust what's written. And
increasingly, I think that trust is rather shattered. Sam, thank you. Be safe. Only finishing to give a final minute to Paul in Camden. Paul, we're banning that word. Banning or go take action against, I should say. Is that enough?
I think it's risible that we look at one word at a time like this. Intifada, jihad. Remember when jihad was, the Metropolitan Police found some antique dictionary and said, oh, it could be a spiritual
struggle,
revolution or something. The real meaning of the word is in the terrorist organization, Islamic Jihad. We know what this word means. We know what intifada means. We know intifada means kill Jews wherever they are as part of this protest. In Australia, Albanese is now saying, we can't mention globalize the intifada after he allows these marches, which I accept are not all hate-filled. They include hate-filled people, but I would say most of them are just misinformed about the Middle East.
Paul, I have to leave it there for time reasons. Thank you, you had your say, but I'm done. Ring me earlier next time. I'd love to explore more issues with you. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinions, put your news categories in the order that you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's it. James O'Brien, the other side of the news here on LBC. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, do stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and it's Thursday, so all being well, it will be the final mystery hour of the year, come 12 o'clock today, with all sorts of excitements underpinning that moment. We begin, though, with, well, a story that is anything but. The government now turns its attention to misogyny. Hey, one question you could ask is, if it's not too simplistic, why do so many young boys hate women? 40% approval ratings for that Tate character, and as the figures grow and as the problem spreads, it's always mums that ring me. Have you noticed that? Why isn't it dads? How much of this problem could we lay at the feet of men?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, boys as young as 11 could be sent on anti-misogyny courses as part of plans to tackle violence against women and girls. The government's long-awaited strategy will be published this morning. LBC's Fraser Knight has more details.
every secondary school is going to have to teach young people about healthy relationships, including consent, warnings that pornography and some of the things that children are seeing online is normalizing behaviors that shouldn't be normal. Of course, a lot of that is already taught in schools, but specialists are now being brought in to train teachers on having some of those really difficult conversations.
The safeguarding minister, Jess Phillips, has told LBC that the connotation is clear when protesters call for intifada. Police have made their first arrest since tightening their policy on the controversial chant in the wake of the Sydney terror attack. Two people were detained at a pro-Palestinian demonstration in London last night. Ms. Phillips says the chant is totally and utterly inexcusable.
I'm not sure what other interpretation there is of infitada other than like an uprising, and it's to call for uprising. And look, we've seen what can happen in an environment where the idea of calling people to arms or violence, that is a very real thing that is happening across our country.
The number of people in hospital in England with flu continued to rise last week. An average of 3,140 flu patients were in hospital each day, up 18% on the previous week. Resident doctors in England are taking part in the second day of their five-day strike. The Conservatives say Westminster City Council must be held accountable over claims it wasted nearly £30 million. It awarded contracts to a building firm despite warnings about poor performance and the risk of bankruptcy. The company later went bust, leaving taxpayers with a bill of £27 million. The Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, told LBC it was a catastrophic mess.
I mean, I feel very, very sorry for Westminster residents. There are a lot of people out there who are working hard, doing double shifts, and now they're going to have to pay for the mess that the Labour Council there has made.
The authority says it followed a robust process, but that lessons have been learned. A review for the government's found the farming sector is bewildered and frightened of what might lie ahead. It says farmers see changes to inheritance tax as their biggest barrier to viability. Sir Keir Starmer's insisted he will not U-turn on the measure. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 9,800. That is up 25 points. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 13. LBC weather, cloudy with rain spreading in from the west country, some heavy downpours in places, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
This Christmas at Tesco, 24 cans of Pepsi Max are just £6.75. That's down from £11.50 with your Tesco Club card. Finding great prices, that's what makes it Christmas. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores excludes Northern Ireland. Ends 31st of December. Club card or app required.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10. A very good morning indeed to you. Would you think less of me if I told you that I don't quite get this? And that, given that I have children myself in the very relevant age range, then I really should get it. It's weird how some of the things that we talk about together feel very much part of my life. The cogs have meshed. I speak of things I know, or if I don't fully appreciate them, I take two calls and suddenly a whole world of understanding opens up in front of me. And of all the subjects that really I should have a better grasp of, a better understanding of, misogyny among schoolboys, misogyny in general, and misogyny among schoolboys would be one that I would presume, looking at this programme from the outside, I had full understanding of. I know exactly what misogyny is. I don't obviously suffer from it, but I obviously know people who do in all of the most imaginable and some of the less imaginable ways. I have watched children grow up over the course of the last 20 years. Tons of children, boys and girls. And I am aware of the influences that they face and the access that they have to things that we didn't have access to as young children. Most obviously, pornography. Most obviously, violent pornography, in terms of things that might be damaging, things that are likely to be corrupting, things that once seen can never be unseen. And I can imagine, like everybody else can, what impact that might have on young minds moving forward. At risk of sounding a bit like Ali G, is it because I don't have sons? Is that why? Because it shouldn't, it should be the other way. I don't know. Is it because I don't have sons that I don't see what you see? And please God, and I hope, but you can never know for sure, that if they did, they would have told me. I don't think my daughters have been on the receiving end of the kind of conduct and behaviour that I read about on mornings like this one. If I had sons, would I have seen the signs? Would I have seen the signs? Would I have caught myself reeling at a comment over the breakfast table? Would I know that my son was enjoying Andrew Tate videos? A man who glorifies in misogyny. A man who celebrates misogyny. A man who is famous for little else but misogyny. And, of course, various criminal allegations. Would I know if... is it because I don't have sons that I don't see it? But surely... I mean, daughters would come home with stories. They would tell you things. And listen, you'd be unsurprised to learn. I try to have the conversations. We ask the questions. We point at stories. We have one of those dreadfully middle-class dinner tables where nothing is off limits and every conversation under the sun can unfold. And I know my daughters... male friends. And they are almost all absolutely lovely. In fact, they're all absolutely lovely. And yet I don't know what they do privately. I don't know what they've seen. I don't know what's changed them. And when I say I don't get it, I just can't answer some of the most obvious questions thrown up by today's news that schoolboys will be taught consent to combat rise in misogyny. All schoolboys will be taught how to respect women and girls to stem the rise in misogyny and reduce sexual violence. Teachers will be given specialist training so that they can give lessons about consent, the dangers of sharing intimate images and the need to challenge misogynistic behaviour. So you can understand bits of it, right? You can unpick parts of it, but you can't unpick all of it. Well, I can't. You possibly can. I'm hoping you can unpick more of it than I can. Otherwise, this is going to be a very strange radio phone-in. 40% of teenagers in relationships are a victim of relationship abuse, and more than 40% of young men hold a positive view of the hideous misogynist Andrew Tate. Every parent, the Prime Minister said yesterday, should be able to trust that their daughter is safe at school, online, and in her relationships. But too often, toxic ideas are taking hold early and going unchallenged. Would it be ridiculous of me to ask what the toxic ideas are? I mean, do we need to go back to brass tacks on this one? Do we need to go back to first principles, to go back to the basics? What are the toxic ideas? And why, and this is a question that I have to phrase a little bit carefully. I'm not going to overthink the phraseology of it, because anybody with a brain knows that I'm not accusing all men of culpability in this process. But why is it almost always mums that ring me? I don't want to put mums off, because you might have better answers to this question than anybody else does. But that's part of the problem to me. I go, blooming women. Hey, you're going to have to fix this as well. Misogyny among young men, among young boys, and it's a problem that's going to have to be fixed by women, by mums. Oh, come on, when did dad step up to the plate? What are we supposed to do about this kind of thing? Again, is that just something I can say quite easily? Because I don't have sons. If I did, I'd understand things better.